I don't know much about cars, but I think Adam Chappelle just made up a car part.
What did he say?
He was going through the list of car parts that you could get on sale this week, and he said shunks are on sale.
Shocks.
No, well, I know they're...
Shunks are the rear shocks.
Is that true?
They go under the trunk.
Amen, bro.
I didn't know that. This is why my auto body shop failed miserably. Because people would come in and they'd say, I need spark plugs, and I'd just laugh. And I'd go, there's no thing called a spark plug, but there is.
And a shunk.
I guess so. How often should my shunks be rotated?
What is it, every 3,000 miles, Steve?
Why are you really? I don't know. I'm making that up.
I don't think that's a car part at all, but he said he was going through the list of what you could get on sale this week. And
Adam, are you still there? Madam, I'm Adam.
He quit. He entered in his resignation immediately.
Did you know shunk is actually Swedish for rear trunk spring shock thing?
I don't believe you anymore. I am no longer saying really to everything
None
you guys
of that's
say.
True.
You will today.
What, do you guys have an over-under bet going?
No.
I'll take the under.
No.
We don't have it yet, but I'll take the under.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Bill and it's Wendy. And, of course, you know Steve. And then there's Kevin. And if you want to join in, why wouldn't you? 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, so we're going to get some inclement weather.
That's what it's looking like.
We might have some storms coming our way. What's so funny, Kevin?
I'm sorry?
He was just doing double-fisted laughing over there.
You're having inclement weather. That's too bad.
Yeah.
How's the pizza?
Pretty great.
When are we starting the show?
The show will start very, very soon. Okay. Yeah, they're saying after having a January and February with absolutely no recorded snowfall.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes, it is. That March could be a tough one.
It's not going to be that
fairly
tough.
Soon. I don't know that it will be.
We're getting closer to the finish line here.
I know. Go on, Kevin.
Well, are they saying the snow is going to hit soon? Or?
Well, like thunderstorms and possible tornadoes, which is so bizarre to me that they can predict tornadoes so far in advance.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed.
Everybody be ready.
I'm going to be in California, so.
Kevin's leaving for California. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow?
Yeah. It'd be a shame if a storm hit tomorrow.
Be a shame if a storm hit and your flight couldn't get out, wouldn't
well,
it?
Well, after the fact that I'm on the flight.
Do you know, I think Chicago's the only place, because I've asked people, I have friends around the country, Wendy, and possibly even around the world, for all I know.
Look at you.
Very continental. But Chicago's the only place where when people you know go out of town, instead of asking them what tourist attractions they visited or what restaurants or museums they were at, we take great care in what the weather was like wherever they are.
Really? Why do we do that? Just because it sucks here most of the time?
I think that has a lot to do with it, but I've noticed like any time I go anywhere, whether it be someplace more or less significant, like you go, okay, I went to a place that's kind of a tropical. So when we went to Costa Rica, like if you went to Costa Rica, I would ask you 1,000 questions about Costa Rica. I would never even think to ask about the weather.
I wouldn't either because it's a given.
Right.
Aren't you expecting it to be warm and sunny?
Right. If it was really bad, I would open with, oh, I've always wanted to go to Costa Rica, and I went there, and guess what? Blizzards every day. Like, that'd be the first thing I'd tell you.
I don't think you'd find a blizzard. Maybe you were riding the eye of a hurricane, but not a blizzard.
But my point is, like, you would, if something outrageous happened with the weather, that would be part of your opening. You would say right away, oh, the weather was, but anytime I go anywhere, I have people who go, what was the weather like there in Ohio? It's just like it was here. Why? I'm just curious.
That's all we asked about before. I don't ask
was
that,
weather?
But I think
I never
the older people
that.
Was, because it's always bad here. Oh, how was the weather?
Right.
I'd be like, you know, how was the resort? How was the food?
Those are better questions.
Did you do anything fun? Did you get stranded in the middle of the ocean in a kayak?
Right. I always want to pull out an index card from my wallet that has the highs and lows of each day and just hand it to them. Here, look. First day, 85 was the high, 83 was the low. Just every day.
I don't think we're getting any blizzards. I think we could be safe to say that.
Right.
There have been some, though, reported. We looked at this last time. And, you know, March is still iffy.
In all honesty, March is still iffy. Even, and then all through, I always, June 1st is always my barometer of, it should be nice from here on in, once you hit June 1st. But even that's not a guarantee.
I had a snow day on my birthday 2 years in a row in March.
Really?
It's very possible. Mm-hmm. And I've been to Wrigley Field on days where it snowed. I've been to two different games where we had considerable snow during the game.
Guess we're not out of the woods yet. How is the weather?
The weather's been fine. All right, let's take a break. And then I have to tell you something bizarre that I learned yesterday. I like the fact that I'm well past 30 and I'm still learning things, but I did learn something interesting yesterday that I had no idea. And to be honest with you, even though a doctor told me this, I'm not 100% sure that it's true. I don't know why a doctor would lie to me, but I'm going to share a little factoid that a doctor told me yesterday that I'm not positive is true.
I can't wait because I'm a hypochondriac and I'm a doctor on the side.
You will love this.
Excellent.
All right, that's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's me, Bill, and it's her, Wendy, and the rest of you know who you are. 312-981-7200 if you would like to jump in on the conversation. All right, yesterday, you and I both only had half a show. It was Teachers Institute Day. We got out halfway through. I had to have a small medical test done. I won't go into great detail because it's not that important for the sake of the story, but everything seems to be fine. But I needed to go and get a medical test done.
How was the weather?
The weather there was actually pretty nice.
Okay.
I have to be honest. The weather was was really nice because for people who don't know me, I always insist that all my medical tests be done outside.
Lucky for you that your doctor obliges.
A lot of hospitals insist you do them inside where
sterile rooms.
Right, in sterile rooms where all the machinery is. But I say, no, let's go outside.
In a courtyard, preferably.
Courtyard's always nice. By Marriott. I'll pick up the tab. I don't care if my HMO covers it. It's on me. All right. So here's what the doctor says to me. Now, you already know this about me, and I hope the listeners already know this as well. Whenever I visit a doctor, 90% of it is me trying to convince them to not give me a shot, no matter what the problem is. I don't want a needle near me.
Right.
I'm bad with needles. So yesterday was just such an incident. They wanted to give me an IV during this, and I said, no, thank you. And they said, no, it's kind of pertinent to the test that you receive. And I said, no. And we went back and forth and back and forth, and I offered them a large amount of money to not give me. I said, I'm going to write down a number on a piece of paper. I'm going to show you the number. You just give me a yes or no if you think that's enough to not give me a shot. All right, so they call this doctor in who's going to negotiate with me and explain the importance of me getting a shot.
A shot or an IV? Two different
an
things.
IV.
Okay, because that stinks because the
IV.
Needle has to stay in you.
Right.
That's
right.
Even worse than a shot.
Right, because with a shot, I know...
In and out.
It's 4 seconds of horror, but with an IV...
That's so funny, Bertrand.
Peace, love, and understanding.
With an IV, I will continuously look down and see it in my arm and get crazy, because I do.
What's,
I get crazy.
What's funny to me, Wendy, it's not funny, Bill. I was thinking of this yesterday. You were telling me you were going to go in for this little thing.
Yeah.
And you said that sometimes they needed an IV, sometimes they didn't, and this one was undetermined.
Right.
And when I heard you say that, I'm thinking, well, they are just not going to tell them.
Right. That is it.
They got to know. There's not one that would be undetermined.
Well, we'll figure it out at the time.
It's undetermined because they said that they needed to give me one, and I said, well, let's discuss it when I get there.
Oh, that's the undetermined.
That's undetermined.
Okay. Mr. Left, this one, we're not sure.
Right. Right. All right. So this doctor is explaining to me how it would be better for everyone if they just gave me the IV, and he told me what it would entail and that the procedure would be better if I had an IV. So I said to him, if you absolutely must, I said, but I'll tell you, in the past, I've gotten very violent when somebody goes to give me a shot. And I told him a couple of stories and, you know, he just kept nodding. And he said, okay, I need to ask you a question. He goes, how long have you had this fear of needles? And I said, since I was a child. And he goes, is it the only fear you have? And I said, yeah, it is pretty much the only fear I have. And he said, has it gotten worse since you've gotten older? I said, yeah, it has gotten worse. So he's nodding and nodding. And he goes, so the only two fears you have are needles and heights. And I go, yeah, wait, I didn't say heights.
But you are afraid of heights.
I am afraid of heights. So I said, how did you do that?
He's a mind reader.
He's a mind reader / doctor. I go, how did you know that? And he said, because, and this is the part that I don't know if it's true or not.
I'm excited.
He said, the same part of your brain that would register a fear of needles would also register a fear of heights. And for everybody in your bracket who has that same irrational fear of needles, they are also afraid of heights. Is that can that be possible?
Can I tell you, I am very afraid of heights. We both demonstrated how we walk to a railing overlooking something. We put our arms out like Frankenstein to get our bearings.
Yes.
I am not afraid of needles. I can watch them go in.
Oh, well, but that doesn't mean it's not true, though.
But what Steve said is right, but it doesn't work the opposite. Like, somebody can be afraid of heights but have no fear at all of needles, because I talked about this with him. I go, and at that point, I was just trying to stall for time so he didn't give me the IV. So I'm asking him all kinds of questions. When you say heights, give me like a roundabout. Like, what? How many flights up would you consider to be a true fear of heights, sir? And where are you from, by the way? Because you have a very distinguished look about you. I was just stalling like crazy.
God, so, you're a piece of work.
So, yeah, there's no doubt about that. So,
if you're afraid of needles, you're also always afraid of heights.
He said that, he goes, the same part of your brain that would register that fear of needles is also going to have that same fear of heights, but it's not the other way around. And so, how could that, if they're right next to each other, why wouldn't one always go hand in hand with the other?
Wow. You stumped me.
I've never heard of that before, but he knew it as soon as I said needles, and then it got worse as I got older. He goes, well, then heights too.
Can I ask you something? Once he evaluated you in such a way, were you more trusting and comfortable with him? Like, he gets me. That's what you were saying.
No, not really. You would almost think that would be natural, right? You would almost assume, oh, now you and I have something. We're friends now. You wouldn't stick me with a needle, would you? Huh? You wouldn't.
So did he?
No.
He really didn't?
Nope. We got around it. And I've done that before where I've convinced them.
But isn't it some, I don't know what test you had, but I mean, obviously you want to be in some kind of a twilight state, hence the the needle.
Right.
So was it uncomfortable then without the needle?
A little bit. But I was able to get through it easier without having, you know, any sort of needle in me.
I get that. My husband Jim does not like needles as well. He's not as bad as you are.
Yeah.
But he had his wisdom teeth pulled, and he didn't want to get.
Did he stay awake for that?
He didn't want to get put under because there are complications from general anesthesia. So he was numbed very much, but it was like a Three Stooges where my dentist had his foot on the chair with pliers trying to pull it out. And he was awake during all of that. Conversely, Jim just had cataract surgery in both eyes.
Yeah.
And he has a fear of someone coming at his eyes like you do with needles.
Yeah.
They were coming in to put eye drops in his eyes, and you could just see him like stiffen up, and he's like, wait, I got to prepare for this. And the lady totally gets it. She goes, oh my God, my husband is just like that. So there are people that really have aversions and irrational fears about things, and nothing you say can change that.
Isn't that strange? Because you would think, I know your husband, he's a rational guy.
And pretty mellow.
Yeah, for the most part.
Oh my
is,
God,
right?
I thought he was going to take out this nurse. And at one point, you know, he had to go, wait, stop, let me regroup here. And then she said, just focus on a tile on the ceiling and don't move your gaze. Just keep looking there.
Yeah.
And they were able to do it. But he still was like, he turned cantankerous.
Oh, I totally get it. My brother-in-law, about a year ago, had to have a colonoscopy, and he opted to not be put out for that.
That's just dumb.
I don't understand. I mean,
did he bring magazines?
He did, Steve. He brought highlights.
Yeah, I got to be in a twilight state when that's happening, because it's like you're in the twilight zone.
Yeah. Can you imagine being up for that process?
Nope. Hey, Lou, you have an idea that would have helped Bill, I think.
Well, if I was Bill's doctor, I would have taken him up on the roof and given him a shot.
Because then two fears at once.
Right.
And they cancel each other out.
Yeah, they would, yeah.
Well, you'd probably cure him.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Thank you, Lou.
I'll bring that up at the next meeting.
Okay. Bye.
Did this doctor who said that if you're afraid of needles, you're also afraid of heights, did he say there was any way to be cured of this?
Well, you know, I think I told you this about a year and a half ago. I went and saw a psychologist about this. There's a doctor here in the area that deals in irrational fears. That's his specialty. So I had heard about this guy for a long time and kept putting it off and putting it off. And finally, my wife said, you need to go see this guy, because those weeks leading up to any kind of medical procedure for me were just hellish because I'd go, oh, 11 more days, I got to have a needle. 8 more days, I got to have a needle. So I went and had a session with this guy, and he did this thing where he put my fingers in this, like, it's like a box that has electricity in it. And he would talk me through these things and then alternate giving me little, like, vibrating shocks in my fingers. And it started out, he would say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how afraid are you of needles? And I'd go, 10 plus, plus, plus.
20.
And then we would talk about things, and he would take me through the process of, now she's going to explain to you that you have to roll up your sleeve and get in, and, you know, and then he would give me shocks when I'd say, and okay, so I went all through that. And by the end of it, he said, 1 to 10, where are you? And I go, about a 3. And he goes, if you had the option right now of going in, I go, I'd go in right now. I went in, and the next day I was a mess.
Yeah, I don't believe you. There are people like you that are hard to therapize because you say what you want them to hear.
But I wasn't saying it to be. I wasn't just saying it to get the session
over.
You
really felt that?
I really felt it. Like by the end of that session, I felt. I go, I think we've beaten this thing. And then the next morning, I
went George.
In. I said, by George. And my friend George is like, why did I get up so early to take you here? This is ridiculous.
But why don't you go back to that then? It sounds like one and done wasn't good for you.
Because I'm not sure that it worked. Like, it worked right then and there. And then Terry said, well, you should go directly from there to the hospital and get your shot right then and there. But I don't think it would work for me.
No, I think they should have someone behind a curtain. And when you're saying number 3, I feel, you know, 3 on the 1 to 10 scale, they should just open a curtain and have somebody shoot you right there.
That would be great. You mean with a needle?
Yes, yes, right. Yes, yes.
Maybe.
See, I really did not understand your terror and your irrational fear of needles till I saw Jim with the eye thing.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
It just doesn't make sense. And I like to think I'm in control of my own destiny. And then when this happens, I just fall. Like in any other situation, I'm fine. But as soon as I see a needle, I'm trying to think of what. When we saw Hacksaw Ridge the other day, there's scenes in Hacksaw Ridge that are the most gruesome war scenes you've ever seen. People are blown to smithereens, and I can watch it and not blink. And then there's a scene where he's getting his physical to go in it, and then the needle's coming at his arm. I can't watch it. I turn my head.
Why don't they give you Valium first?
Oh, maybe.
Because then that will chill
calm
you.
Calm me down a little bit? Yeah, maybe.
And then they can do whatever they want to
you. Oh, that's a good idea.
Doesn't that ever come up?
Yeah, because that seems weird that they wouldn't suggest that.
Right.
In fact, I might fake it to get the Valium.
Yeah. I think
all
that
right.
would help you.
And that's just in tablet form.
Right, and right? It kicks in. They could give it to you while you're in the waiting room, and you don't want to overdo it because I did that before oral surgery, and I don't remember anything.
Really?
I just felt like I was at a frat party.
Oh.
So too much could be bad.
Well, yeah,
but
so
it does
just right amount.
Definitely
it would calm
me
down
yeah.
a little bit. I hadn't even thought about that as an option. Maybe.
How come they didn't? Steve, you're absolutely right.
Unless they needed, I don't really care. I mean, I do care, but it's not relevant what your tests were. But, you know, maybe they needed your functions.
Oh, to not be clouded by any kind of Valium type.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
It's so weird that this was just a vision test.
I was going to say, was it a urine test?
It was a driving test. It's for my license. All right, let's take a quick break. Steve has the news and then more show. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill avoided
an IV.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Intravenous. I couldn't
IV,
think of it.
Or as we call it, a 4.
What's a 4?
I'm a big fan of Roman numerals. So to me, I say, do you have to give me a 4? And they go, you mean an IV?
I was
call
thinking back
you
to your chart on how much does this bother you, 0 to 10. And
yeah.
I thought number 4, that
oh,
was
no.
very good. Somebody says, take Bill with you, Wendy, to your acupuncturist, and after one session, he'll be cured. Yeah, but see, that's kind of counterproductive because you won't let the acupuncturist put any needles in you.
Yeah, the idea of acupuncture to me is that's like the worst day on the planet you could ever have.
I got to go back. She's awesome.
Yeah?
It really relieved a lot of stress in my life
yeah,
when
I'm
went.
Yeah, I'm positive.
Why don't they put a blindfold on you? I think that would be worse. You would punch someone.
A blindfold would not work because, Like now I kind of know when the shot's coming, so I'm bad for that period of time. But if I had a blindfold, I would think from the time the blindfold was tied on, it could be, so I would just be flailing my arms around.
You would be terrible.
Yeah.
That would be funny to video, though. I'm sorry.
It would be.
Bill, every time I used to get a shot, I would pass out. So my doctor prescribed me Xanax. And now about an hour before I go get a shot, I take that and I'm totally fine. And this person would pass out.
Oh, wow.
Cure for Bill, visit the top of the Seattle Space Needle, then pinch yourself in the butt.
Can I just do one out of the two?
You don't need to go to the Space Needle for that.
I don't want to go to Seattle.
Someone has a great question for you. 815 has texted. Mm-hmm. And again, Bill has an irrational fear of needles, which you're not the only one.
No.
It's almost more common than we think.
Steve Cochran's son has it worse than I do.
Does he pass out?
He does pass out. I don't pass out. I get really hot. This will sound crazy. I get really hot and really cold at the same time. I shiver and sweat.
That's
called
an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
I mean, really, a panic attack.
I guess that's what it is. And I do become violent. I threaten whoever's about to give me the shot. I say horrible things about them.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you swear? Because you don't typically swear. Do you swear?
Yep.
Like now, bad words?
Yeah.
Like, I think I would speak for Wendy. I really don't want to see you suffer, but I do want to see that. I mean, it would be fascinating to see it one time.
It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I don't want to see that side of you.
Really?
No.
It is crazy.
I don't want, it'll ruin
and,
my...
Well, you already know this. Your sister-in-law worked at one of the doctor's offices that I once went into.
Jimmy Mack's sister, yeah. Sheila. And go ahead, because this is my favorite story.
I told the doctor in that particular instance that if he came near me with the needle, only one of us would be walking out of the room, and it would not be him.
And Sheila came out to you and said what?
She explained to me that the session was over and that it would be in my best interest to find another doctor. And she was right. I wouldn't, you know, you
were quite the talk of the office.
Oh, I'm positive.
Were you in control when you said that, or were you panicking then?
I was in such a panic.
He was mad, though. I mean, that's what happens. Someone wants to know if you were stung by bees or wasps as a kid, and maybe needles remind you of that terrible experience.
Stung by a bee once, and our next door neighbors were wasps.
Not the first time he's given that answer.
I used to get stung by bees a lot because I would walk barefoot in the yard and we had a lot of clover. And I'm telling you, probably 10 times I stepped on a bee.
10 times?
And the worst was cutting the grass.
Yeah.
Right near, I went past our shed in the backyard. And sometimes on the 4th of July and on New Year's Eve, Jim will blow off fireworks in the yard.
Yeah.
And when I went past the shed, I didn't hear anything, but all of a sudden I felt like these burns on my back, like probably 7 or 8, just pa pa pa. And I'm like, oh my God, did I run over a firecracker and burn myself? It turns out there was a giant hornet's nest under the eave of the shed.
Yeah.
And when I came by with the lawnmower, the noise startled them.
They get aggressive.
And I had like 8 stings on my back. That was the worst thing ever. Went to one of those urgent care centers because they turned into giant welts, and I thought, I'm not allergic to bees. All of a sudden, am I allergic? And they said, no, you have 8 of them. It was so Benadryl and other things, and it ultimately went away. But
that's painful.
I've been stung so many times, and I'm still not afraid of needles.
Wow.
I watch when I give blood or when they take blood.
Yeah.
You can
look at that. I can't even think about looking at it. When you guys, every once in a while, they'll come by on vaccination day and give you guys a shot, and I can't even see that.
Oh, the flu shots.
Flu shots.
Yeah. Happy vaccination day, everybody.
But now
it's a parking meter holiday.
My son Dylan, he's 14, and he has to have blood tests every 3 months, and he doesn't like it. But each time I said, he goes, should I look at it? And I said, Dad doesn't like to look at it. I like to look at it. Do whatever you feel comfortable. And lately he's been watching it, and he says, you know what? It really doesn't hurt that bad.
That's the craziest thing. I know it doesn't hurt that bad. I know it. Because every time when it's done, I go, all right, I'm ready. And they go, it's over. We gave it to you.
And Jim,
so I know that.
With the eye thing, with the eye drops, I mean, I've never seen him be so mean to people. And then I'm like, God, it's like I'm married to a cantankerous old man. Will you be nice to these nurses? But they totally understood that.
Yeah.
It didn't bother them at all. And Jim said, you know, I've had some eye surgeries in the past. I've spent my whole life protecting my eyes, so it's really hard for me to give in, which is kind of the same thing with you and the needles.
The last successful shot I got was 6 or 8 months ago, and it was at Evanston Hospital, and they gave me to this lady because this lady had been in the Marines for 9 years. And she said to me, she goes, I have seen it all and I've heard it all. And I go, not like this. I go, I don't know what your worst day of combat was, but we're going to pass that record today. And she goes, throw it at me. I'm ready. Like that. And then when it was done, she goes, you were right. You're not really good with the needles, are you?
But she got it in
you. She got it, yeah.
So
what did she do differently, though, that she was able to give you a shot and no one else can?
I don't know what she
did. And can you make personal appointments with her only?
What was the Bill Bixby character, you know, the
Incredible Hulk?
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Is that how it happens to you? Like,
do you
feel yourself transforming like that?
Turning green, busting through my clothes.
Right, exactly.
Hulk get mad.
Don't pull that needle out, and then boom, you just go down the hill.
I've never seen your pecs or guns look so good when that happens,
though. Oh, thank
you.
Funny color, but
right.
It's all right. Still big.
Green is not everybody's color. I mean, that's a tough color to pull off. Yeah, but it is like that. I mean, there's a little bit of first. I
you
go through
turn.
The,
it's
I,
like a walker. You turn.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're.
Yeah.
You really do. I've
and fast.
I don't know, man. Well, hopefully you can go through. And then everybody, of course, is saying my kid's a diabetic, has to check their blood sugar and prick their finger 4 times a day. That hurts more than just getting a shot.
I know it. One of my best friends is a diabetic and has to give himself shots every day. And when we were trying to have kids and Terry was on a drug where I was supposed to give her a shot every day for a while as part of the fertility, and I couldn't do it. She had to give herself the shots.
But, in your defense, if it was life or death, you would definitely do it.
I'm positive. I would somehow be able to figure it out. But just shy of life and death, I can't do it.
All right, if I could just put the fear of God in all of us. James, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm also a diabetic, but I'm a type 2 diabetic, so I don't have to take shots. But I, as a result of the diabetes, I had it for many years without knowing it. I have to have I have eye damage, and I have had to go for 2 years once a month and get a shot. An injection into my eyeball.
Oh no. My God.
And you're able to
but
do
I'll
that.
Tell you, well, you know what? I'm the worst. I don't like it when I have to get a shot. I'm not as bad as Bill with the needles, but here's the thing that's weird. They numb it so much that you can't really feel it. What I can feel is the fluid going in. I can't actually feel the needle. But listen, what's so weird, I mean, think about it. It's your eye. And it has to be open. You see it coming.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
So doesn't that sound horrible? But I'm such a chicken that, like, I wouldn't have ever gone back. But it's just, it's not that bad. I'm trying to give Bill some hope.
And you have to do it, James. So there's no other alternative. Yeah. Are you finished with this now, or are you still doing it?
No, they've spread it out now. I went for a while for every 8 weeks and then every 10 weeks, and it was improving and improving. And unfortunately, last week when I went, it was reversing a little bit, so now I have to go back to every 8 weeks.
Well, but bless you and good luck to you, James.
Hope you're okay. You're brave, James. I could never do that.
Yeah. Well, it's a very, very weird thing. The funny thing is the doctor says, now look up, look away from the needle. And I'm like, oh, right, like I'm going to try to look at it.
Oh, my God.
All right, James, take care of yourself. Wow.
You bet.
Good luck. Now don't you feel like a Nancy boy?
Yeah, I did already, and now even more so. All right, we will take
Can
a
I
break.
Can I be a Nancy girl? Does that make sense? Because after hearing that.
I know.
Oh, my God.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll check in with Bridget Carey from CNET and see what's going on in the world of technology. Next, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's a Tech Tuesday, and Bridget Carey is on the line from CNET.com. And Bridget, you are here in the nick of time because I am sick of my phone bill. And I can't believe how much, I mean, we have 4 lines. You can always add a line, like a family member for $9.99, but it's really not $9.99 because you're paying unlimited data.
Right.
It comes to the point where I'm spending like more than a car payment on my phone bill. What do I do?
Okay. So just a few weeks ago, everything changed with all the major four carriers because Verizon started offering unlimited data plans again. Because for a while, we've been dealing in the world of buckets of data where you have a family, you know, all have to share this bucket of data and buy more data, and it was a nightmare if you weren't on Wi-Fi. And suddenly, these unlimited data plan wars between the carriers heated up, and everyone just started offering new things. Even yesterday, AT&T offered two new different types of unlimited plans. So,
and they're the last to do it, correct?
Right. You know, T-Mobile kind of started, but theirs was cheap, and so was Sprint, but they had a lot of drawbacks. And suddenly, in the past 2 weeks, they're all trying to one-up each other, and now they all offer pretty much the same thing. It's just about the price being different. And you, as a consumer, have to go, all right, what carrier do I want to go with in terms of coverage? A lot of people say, well, AT&T and Verizon are the best, right? So I should go with one of them. Well, not necessarily. T-Mobile in the past may not have been good, but right now they're getting a lot of good reviews and in terms of those rating reports and how well they do on coverage in a lot of big cities. So if you're in a big metro area, you can save a lot of money by going to T-Mobile. And I would always ask my neighbors or my coworkers what they have to see if they have any issues in the places I work or where I live. To see if there's any drop spots, you know. But that said, you don't have to necessarily go with the big guys because they're the most expensive right now.
But now there are two plans you mentioned that AT&T just introduced. Mm-hmm. I think I currently I have AT&T and I have an unlimited plan for the family, but
so
I'm paying for it.
You have an unlimited plan too. You probably have that old one you're hanging on to maybe, but I would say it's worth looking into your bill again with what's offered to see if it could save you a few bucks. Okay, so here's the breakdown. AT&T's got two. Their most expensive one is more expensive than any other carrier. It's like $90 for one line, and four lines is like $180-something. You know, it always goes up with how many phones you add. And what they're trying to do to entice you on AT&T's end, they're most expensive with unlimited, but they go, hey, if you have DirecTV or our Uverse TV, we want you to get it. We're going to give you $25 off your TV service if you have this. So they're bundling, right? They're just trying to say, buy our TV service and your life is a little cheaper that way. If you're not going to get AT&T's TV service, I wouldn't go with them here. But they also have a very cheap version. AT&T's fairly inexpensive one is $60 for one line. And they are limiting you, so unlimited is not unlimited, it has limits. They are limiting you in your speed. You're not going to get the fastest 4G. You're going to get slightly slower. You're not going to get any video that's in HD high definition. It's all going to be 480p. You also cannot use your phone as a hotspot. Every other plan out there lets you see everything in HD, use your phone as a hotspot for up to 10 gigabytes, and there's no like slowing you down now. So when you look at all that, you have to go, well, is that cost benefit worth it? It's cheap to be on AT&T for $60 a month, but you know you're not going to get your HD video. I think you have to kind of weigh like what you use your phone for.
I'm going to go back to climbing up the telephone pole. Like
it's easier, isn't
who
it?
Who did that on Green Acres?
Jeb, I believe. Yeah.
I was breaking this down on CNET, trying to keep it simple, because you can go kind of crazy going through all the plans. Everyone, don't forget when you are comparing numbers, they all throw in their fees and taxes at the end of the bill, and it's different for everyone. And sometimes it could be as much as $20 extra with fees and everything, because you're like, wait, why is my bill $120? But it's supposed to be $90. But T-Mobile, they fold it into their advertised price. So when you look at the prices for T-Mobile, their fees and taxes are all part of the advertised price there.
Are you now working for T-Mobile? Because you seem to.
I'm not hawking them. I know it sounds like it, but it's just these are the things to keep in mind because it's not exactly an even comparison all the time.
I know this is subtle, Bridget, but you know that guy, that TV spokes guy named Paul with the glasses who used to be with Verizon and now he's with Sprint, right?
I hate that kid.
I don't hate him.
But the part where he says, and he says this in I think every ad now, as he's trying to convince somebody to also switch to Sprint, he goes, all of them are really good right now. And that rarely happens in advertising where you say, hey, everyone who does this, we've all gotten to the level where we're all pretty good. That seems unusual to me.
Okay, for those who don't know, that's the can you hear me now guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, Of course, Sprint would say that they're ranked the lowest. Oh. but ranking the lowest still isn't so bad. You know, like yeah. it's just kind of nitpicking. I think you should do, if you're really saying, should I switch to a cheaper carrier like T-Mobile or Sprint, do your homework and look at some of the review groups out there, and look at your zip code, look at your area, because yes, Sprint is fine maybe in Chicago, but maybe not in the outskirts. And I'm just making this up because I haven't actually looked, you know, in your area.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing you have to. And also, do you travel a lot? You know, do you have a kid going to college somewhere where that, you know, isn't so strong? And those things matter when you're making that kind of decision. But yes, for the most part.
Does CNET provide some sort of a consumer guide where you can look up a chart and go, I'm deciding between three companies, which do you rank the highest? You guys do that, don't you?
We don't go out and measure when it comes to how good the quality is in different areas. There are industry groups that do that, and we have written about them.
Yeah.
So I don't have them in front of me. They're these long industry group names, but definitely do a quick search for, like, and you can find this easily on Google.
I love going to CNET.com whenever I'm buying any kind of appliance, because honestly, just great reviews. I don't always listen to them, but at least you can go through and see what they have to say for anything. I mean, a new microwave, a sewing machine, it's pretty great. So good work over at CNET. I got to tell you that, Bridget.
Thanks. We're always having fun with something. And sometimes it's now smart fridges and drones and all sorts of things buzzing around our office at all times.
You know, I very briefly, before we let you go, I was just thinking about drones yesterday. If we had drones in the time of Gilligan's Island, they wouldn't be castaways because they would have been found.
Yep, so true.
And we wouldn't have Home Alone in the age of texting. Where are you, Kevin? Oh, I'm here. Okay, coming back.
That's true, too. Wow. So there's good and bad in technology, isn't
right.
there, Bridget? We just learned that. Bridget, thanks so much. Have a good week.
Thanks, you too.
Bridget Carey from CNET, where she serves as senior editor. We'll take a quick break. And then some news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we here in Illinois are probably curious because once a year, the U.S. News and World Report has a ranking of the best states for the year.
Did we make the top 50 this year? It wouldn't shock me if we came in 53rd out of 50 this year.
There's a lot of stuff going wrong in Illinois, isn't there?
Yeah, there's some stuff going right, but there's a lot of stuff going wrong.
So why do we live here? It's too hard to pick up and move?
You know, it's the weirdest thing. Don't you love it here? Is there anywhere you'd rather live in the United States than here?
Well, that's what people ask me a lot, and then I think maybe California would be fun, but then I'd get sick of that. San Francisco would be nice.
There's places where you go, I could live there for a little while, but like for longevity.
But that's because we know this is home.
No, I know. But I've been to a couple places where I go, I could last here for 6 months or for a year.
You love Maine. Would you like to live there?
No. And I love
really?
It there. Yeah.
That surprises me. All right. Well, we are going to talk to the assistant managing editor of the Best States Ranking from U.S. News and World Report's inaugural 2017 Best States Ranking. On the line with us right now is Mark Silva. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Good. We were just, I was going to say commiserating, but we're not really. I mean, we live in Illinois. I think I like it just because I can never cut the apron strings, and I'm here, so I'm here forever.
It's flawed, though. We know that it's flawed, but we still love it, Mark.
Well, of course, every place is flawed. I mean, home wouldn't be home if it weren't flawed in some way, right?
Yeah.
Now, how do you do the statistics here? How do you determine what is the best state for 2017?
Well, we looked at seven broad measures: healthcare, education, government administration, infrastructure. It's everything from roads to the internet, the economy, opportunity for all citizens. Is everyone sharing in the wealth? Crime and corrections, public safety. And behind those seven categories, there are 68 individual metrics. And it's mostly publicly available data, the freshest and latest from government and university sources. It's very objective. And we also conducted a survey which asked people nationally what really matters to them about state services, and they said education and healthcare the most. So there's a little more weighting in the rankings toward the education and healthcare metrics. tens of thousands of data points behind all of this, literally demographic and all kinds of breakdowns, and that we have a great interactive tool. You can spend all day comparing everything under the sun and generate little charts and share them on social media. It's great.
So, Mark, I'm guessing for our state, being that we've gone
a year
and a half without a budget, being that we've got some serious crime problems in the city of Chicago, those are things that are going to certainly work against us, aren't they?
Well, let's start at the bottom. Let's start with government administration. The state ranked 47 in this comparison, and that's on various measures of government integrity. The process is in place to make sure that everything's up and up. Transparency, integrity of the finances, the balanced budget, pension fund, all that sort of thing. So a rather low ranking in government administration. Now, I can also flip to a rosier number, which is 19, and that's in the area of opportunity. Is there shared opportunity for most people in the state? That looks at gender parity. Do women have opportunities for leadership and management roles like men, pay? What is the racial disparity in education and educational attainment and employment and income, that sort of thing? 19, above average. That's good. So then there are some other numbers across the board that are, healthcare, 20, not bad, above average in healthcare. Pardon me, I had that backwards. Please excuse me. It's 32 in healthcare, 20 in education. It's the education figure that's actually higher.
Which surprises me because it seems like we have a lot of education issues.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, that's right. And these are comparative numbers, which means that, 19 other states are showing better results in education. And that's both higher ed and public education, both. It's mixed, it's split between those two. So, everything is comparative. The other news is there's, 30 people not performing as well as Illinois or 30 states. And then just kind of scrolling through it, I mentioned 32 for healthcare. 10 for infrastructure. Your roads and bridges and internet are better than most places, believe it or not.
That's good news.
But look at all the potholes we battle on a regular basis.
But that's in the city.
I guess,
if you look statewide, we're probably not that bad, but in the city, we're horrible.
All right, good point.
These are statewide averages. And again, they compare with other states, and so other states have road problems too. The economy scores rather low, 44, and this has to do with job opportunities and unemployment, job growth, GDP growth, general economic measures. That's among the lower scores. I mentioned 19 in opportunity, everyone sharing in the wealth. And then in crime and corrections, it's actually sort of right in the middle, 29. So that's a look at both crime in general and how the prison systems are running. Are they overcrowded? What's the percentage of people incarcerated? That sort of thing. So kind of a middle number, and all of those numbers kind of balance out to a nice even 29 for the overall rank.
Except, Mark, you have to take into account, in Illinois, most of the people in jail are former governors of the state of Illinois. So,
well, I was going to mention
that. We ranked number one in that.
Yay. Right.
Yeah. We didn't calculate indictments in this. But.
Oh, all right.
All right, so overall, the state of Illinois is ranked what?
So let me make sure I'm looking at this clearly. It is 29.
Out of
50.
Out of 50 states. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Room for improvement, but who's at the tail?
That's it. We view all this as sort of measures of what things could use some fixing up, and where there are, things to brag about, and competitively speaking, there's things that all states can do to, sort of up their game. So hopefully this provides some motivation for, progress in various areas.
Just so we can feel a little better about ourselves, who's towards the bottom, like the 40s and 50?
Well, the Deep South states have a certain distinction in this ranking, which is that most of them are there at the bottom. That has to do with levels of health care, public education, the economy in general. So you've got Louisiana, Mississippi at the bottom, and a number of southern states at the bottom. Also New Mexico, which was interesting to me, sort of in the lower tier there. Kentucky, West Virginia, Alaska. Alaska is also there. That's not south. Mostly southern states in the bottom. And the top states range across the country. You've got Massachusetts, number one, in the Northeast. You've got Washington State, number 5 in the West Coast. You've got Iowa, Minnesota in the top 10.
Iowa kind of surprises me because it sounds like a lot of the wealthier states were at the top of the list, but that's not necessarily the case.
Well, Iowa scores really well in healthcare and education. You know, they have the highest high school graduation rate in the country in the public schools. The test scores are pretty good. So they rank number 8 in education, number 5 in healthcare, and number 6 in opportunity. So there's a sort of an equity in sharing among. They're up there. And then a couple of mountain states, Colorado and Utah, are in the top 10. And those are mainly economic indicators. The economy in Colorado is just going gangbusters. Businesses moving in there and people moving into work. And so it's the economy that really catapulted Colorado to the top 10.
Mark, are any points given for aesthetics and just general like things to do, museums, sports teams, that sort of thing, or is that not factor in?
No. So Indiana asked us why we didn't measure basketball. And I told Louisiana that if we considered food and music, they'd be a lot better off.
Oh, sure. Of course.
No, these are hard, cold, metrics in what I mentioned. But no, nothing about mountain vistas and beautiful lakes and serene paths.
Doesn't factor in. And then do you think, will a state look at these numbers and say, wow, I knew we weren't scoring well in this department, but we're 48 out of 50. We got to do something. Do you think any state will take action based on this and say, all right, here's a hole here and a hole here. We got to plug these holes?
Well, I'd like to think so. When I was speaking with Louisiana about the numbers, their health insurance is rather low. But apparently within the last year, they've instituted some expansion in Medicaid. Who knows what will happen that what's going on now. But so, you know, there's the possibility that they may actually show some gains from year to year just by virtue of what's happening lately. And, yeah, I mean, everyone looks at their own place and sees what's going on. But when you have a chance to sort of measure yourself against others, you have a clearer picture of, you know, where you might make some gains. You know, in the spirit of democracy, this is all about offering people, you know, good ideas for doing better things. And we'll do these rankings every year, so there will be an opportunity to, you know, see who's moving where, up or down. We hope it's a benchmark for progress. That's the idea.
Good.
Mark Silva on the line with us, assistant managing editor of Best States Ranking. You can go to usnewsandworldreport.com. I don't have the website here. Where's the best place to find this study?
usnews.com/news/best-states. How's that for a mouthful?
Just Google it.
If you go to the site, usnews.com, you'll find it.
Perfect. Very interesting. Before we let you go, I want to make everybody feel better in Illinois. I guess you said overall, out of all the 50 states, we're ranked 29. But this is something that I would like to share according to this report. Illinois has one of the best internet speeds.
Good.
And the lowest suicide rates.
Excellent.
There you go.
So pretty good. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Check it out online.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Silva, assistant managing editor of Best State Rankings. Very interesting information there.
Can I tell you how Wisconsin did? Because everybody in Illinois makes fun of Wisconsin.
I'm going to guess not as good as us, or you wouldn't have brought it up, right? If they did better than us, it would look terrible.
Wisconsin ranks 16th among the U.S. states overall.
It did?
16th.
How about that? Good for them.
It's because of the cheese curds. 5th for government efficiency and transparency, and it ranks among the best states for crime and corrections.
Interesting.
Never would have thunk it.
Yeah. All right. So they're 16 and we're 29?
Yeah. Wow. We've got some work to do. I'm surprised we're not lower.
You know, I am too. I really am. I thought the number was going to be somewhere in the mid-30s.
But again, it's state overall. Yeah. Chicago's the one dragging it down.
Yeah, maybe. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We were talking about the states as they were ranked in 2017 in order of greatness from U.S. News. You can go to usnews.com and find more information. If we could just go through a couple of these. Illinois was ranked 29th overall, but one of the best internet speeds. That seems stupid.
Depends on what your importance is. If your importance is internet speed, you're in the right place.
I like the lowest suicide rates of all the
states.
That's
not a bad thing to have. Good.
California, with the largest population, has the number 3 economy in the United States, and ranks first for business environment. It has one of the healthiest populations.
Not a surprise.
I know.
That seems to make sense. I think most of the states where you can spend more time outside, right, your warmer weather states, you would imagine they're going to be ranking pretty high there.
Although, conversely, Colorado ranks as the ninth best state in the U.S., has the best economy. That's since they legalized pot.
I think it's a coincidence, right?
Yes.
It's got to be, yeah.
And is experiencing the most growth of pot.
Not a coincidence that time, right?
So that's a cold state, and that's ninth best in the U.S.
A cold state, but an extremely active state.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's so nice there.
You ski, though, don't
you?
Yeah. See, I don't ski. What do I do in Colorado? I don't smoke pot either, so what do I do?
Yeah, I don't.
Look at a stream?
Be the best place for you. Well, I mean, there's plenty of stuff to do, but it is, for the most part, outside. You know, you're either hiking or snowboarding or skiing or
does it get warm enough to swim?
Oh, yeah, in the summers.
Oh, it does?
The summers are beautiful there.
I think it's actually, like, annually warmer than Chicago.
Yeah.
It gets more snow, but yeah.
Really? And you'd be amazed, too, that some days there could be snow in the morning and it could be 60 degrees by the afternoon.
We've been there on days where we fly into Denver and it's really, really warm, and then you go up into the mountains and it's snowing like crazy.
It's amazing.
And I've skied there on several days where you don't need a jacket, just like
really?
A sweater or a sweatshirt is all you need, yeah.
Well, there's another place that's warm that gets snow sometimes, Hawaii. It ranks first for healthcare, one of the healthiest populations, some of the best healthcare access, and the lowest mortality rate in the U.S. If you're living in heaven, why do you want to die? Seriously.
That should be, if you ever write a country western song, that should be the title.
You know what they've got really bad, though, is they don't have a very good graduation rate at their university.
No, they
there.
Don't.
No.
I think because there's too much to do.
Well, I think a lot of people from, you know, the mainland go over there thinking, oh, I'm going to go to University of Hawaii and study whatever, and then they just end
up. They don't study.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
Florida has the seventh best economy in the U.S. It's the second fastest growing state.
Florida is? Yeah.
Aren't they out of room?
No, Florida's really huge. I mean, you don't think about it, but it is. I mean, it covers a lot of territory. Their school system is a little substandard in Florida.
And I'm amazed when you fly over that how big the Everglades actually are.
Gigantic.
I mean, it's just
cool.
Like a reflection of water just coming back at you if you're flying over it. It's incredible.
And open mouths of gators, or I guess crocodiles.
Just waiting for that plane to drop them.
That's right.
Something.
Indiana ranks first for government efficiency among U.S. states.
And low-priced smokes.
That's on here.
Is it?
Yes.
It should be on there.
It is also, no, it isn't. It's also one of the most affordable states and has some of the most equal opportunity. Iowa, another Midwest state, grows one-fifth of the nation's corn.
Yeah.
Ranks sixth overall and fifth for health care among U.S. states. Sixth overall is Iowa.
That's, I thought they'd be high up. I didn't think they'd be sixth.
Kentucky ranks seventh for affordability among the states, 11th for crime and corrections. It ranks as one of the safest states with some of the least crime.
That's interesting. Kentucky.
Massachusetts ranks as the best state in the whole United States. It has the number one education system, ranks near the top for healthcare economy and crime and corrections. So shouldn't people be looking at how Massachusetts is run?
Well, yes. Why wouldn't you use it as a guide? All right, so is that taking more into account their grade school and high school systems, or the fact that they've got some of the leading universities there, or is it all encompassing? It probably
and they got some wicked pack in there too.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they
find
do.
A packing spot anyway.
Number one education system. I would.
Yeah, it's that really good.
I would think is like the undergraduate thing,
right? And their baked bean industry is through the roof, Wendy.
Darn it, that's not
Boston
mentioned.
Boston baked beans are never been better.
Michigan, another neighbor of ours, ranks as the second most affordable state in the U.S. with one of the lowest costs of living. It also ties for the most transparent government.
And but crime would be a
wait
problem.
Wait a minute,
there,
the
I'm
transparent
thinking.
Government, the state that has Flint, Michigan in it?
Yeah.
Well, this is for 2017.
So the government's transparent, but the water is not.
Now,
right.
Yeah.
You can't see through the water, but you can see through the government.
And Minnesota, another state. I got to do a whole state tour because I haven't been to a lot of states.
Have you not been? Which
Minnesota?
You've never been to Minnesota?
I'm going this summer,
actually. Go with Ryan's family.
Yeah, let's do it. Come on.
Go. Road trip with Ryan.
What is there to do there?
Well, we're going to go up to
10,000 lakes.
Yeah, we're going to go. Well, I've got friends up there, but we're going to go up to International Falls. We might even sneak over to Canada. Legally.
Do it, Wendy.
I've got a passport.
Go with them.
Minnesota,
I'll come back, I promise.
Well, then you'll be happy to know, Ryan. Minnesota ranks number 3 among the U.S. states overall. That's pretty up there.
Minnesota's really nice.
With the 3rd best health care, so if you get injured, you're covered.
Well, they got the Mayo Clinic up there, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everyone there has
Oh, then I have been to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because my dad went to the Mayo Clinic when I was a little kid. So, and it is near Canada because we went to Niagara Falls,
Plus,
too.
Plus, weren't you a big Kirby Puckett fan? Didn't you go up there to watch a lot of Minnesota Twins baseball?
No. Some of the best infrastructure and opportunity in the nation.
Yeah, in Minnesota. And everyone there has a boat. Everybody. It's the weirdest thing. Everyone
because
there
are all those lakes. How
yeah,
many?
Yeah, yeah.
10,000?
10,000 lakes. Says it on the license plate.
I guess we were in Minnesota. See the things I don't remember when I was little?
Yeah.
Although we went because my dad had to go to the Mayo Clinic, so I think we built a summer vacation around that. It's not memorable.
Did you go to Mall of America?
No,
that
it wasn't
there
built
yet.
Then.
That wasn't there
I'm
yet.
Old.
They got roller coasters in there now.
We went to Niagara Falls, which I have to tell you, I was pretty young, and I remember that driving or going on the Maid of the Mist.
Yeah,
I think that is one of the best family vacations that maybe I should take the kids to.
Did you see what they did to it now? Do you know what just changed
in
about
Niagara Falls
now? They've put in colored lights behind the falls, so at night they do like this colored light show.
They didn't have that before?
I think they had it on the Canadian
That's
side.
That's the side I was on.
Oh, okay. They didn't have it on the U.S. side. But I just watched it on the news about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's breathtaking. I mean, it's always pretty, but at night with all the different colored lights coming through, and it was fantastic.
It's pretty amazing to look and see that nature made that.
Yeah.
It really is.
Ryan, we're coming with you. We just decided.
Okay.
We'll split right. off, though, and I want to go to the Canadian side.
Yeah, it's going
to
be fun. Me, my wife, 2 kids, and you guys in the back of our little Nissan Versa.
We'll have so much fun.
We'll broadcast live. This is
a
borough trip.
Our Hometown Voices tour from Niagara Falls. All right, a break, and then some news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Ryan, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call in. With a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Remember yesterday we were talking about the Academy Awards, and I said it's always fascinating to me how some people will be doing something. I used Jimmy Kimmel as an example. Jimmy Kimmel, the first time I ever saw Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm guessing you too, he was the co-host on a show, a game show on Comedy Central called Win Ben Stein's Money. And when you watched him, you thought, well, this guy's he's very funny, but I don't think he'll ever host the Academy Awards. And then he did.
Was that before The Man Show with Adam Carolla?
Yeah.
Because that's when I didn't watch Win Ben Stein's Money much.
It's pretty funny.
Although the few times I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
Where's Ben Stein now, by the way?
I'm not sure where he is.
And why wasn't he on the Oscars?
With
Jimmy Kimmel, wasn't
more
it?
More dry eye commercials?
Yeah, he did do those for a while, didn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. He was in Ferris Bueller, of course.
Oh,
he was the teacher
of
Ferris Bueller. And he's pretty outspoken politically, too. He was a speechwriter for, was it George Bush Original Recipe? I can't remember.
I think
somebody
you're right,
on the Republicans
yeah.
he was a speechwriter for.
But you're right. Seeing Jimmy Kimmel, he did a good job, but you'd never think he'd be catapulted to that kind of fame.
Right. So that happens from time to time. Somebody all of a sudden just reaches some pinnacle of success, and you say to yourself, look at the humble beginnings they came from. Well, now we learn something about Gary. This is Gary, who showed up with a tour group during the Academy Awards, and Vicky were there, and Jimmy Kimmel was doing a bit during the Academy Awards where they just brought in a tour group who didn't expect to be in the middle of the Academy Awards, but they were.
But don't you know all of a sudden when you walk into that theater and you see everybody assembled, I mean, they didn't know what was going on?
They didn't, because they took them through this back entrance. Like, they came in on the other side of the street, and then they kind of wormed them up and down stairways and hallways, and then all of a sudden they're in the middle of the theater.
That's so cool.
It's very funny. So all of a sudden there's Gary and his fiancée Vicky and about a dozen other passengers from this tour bus.
Gary from Chicago. Gary from Chicago.
All right. So right away, I and also Kevin spring into action. Because as soon as he says Chicago, I go, I want to get this guy for the show.
Right.
Kevin does the same thing. So separately, we're both trying to find him on either Facebook, or Kevin uses other forms of social media that I have access to.
I tweeted about him right away because hoping he'd get back to me. But, you know.
His name is Gary Allen Cole. So spelling variation wise, there's dozens. You know, I spelled Gary a bunch of different ways. I spelled Alan a bunch of different ways. I spelled Cole a bunch of different ways. Couldn't find him. No sign of him anywhere. Kevin, same thing. We came in yesterday morning, both with the same story. Want to find this guy. Can't find this guy. Everybody else in town is also trying to find him. All the news services want to get him on because he's a Chicagoan who's in the Academy Awards. Jimmy Kimmel announces right away, Gary's going to be on our show tomorrow night, meaning last night.
Yeah, I forgot to watch him.
So don't worry, he was not on. Do you know why?
No.
Gary has something of a checkered past.
So he's been arrested?
He had just come out of jail.
Oh, poor Gary.
He and his fiance, maybe. My first inclination was to do the same thing. Poor Gary, but he's been accused of some awful things.
But he served his time and was released. Boy, he wasted no time going on a vacation.
Isn't that something?
You'd think the readjustment phase would be a little. Did he save up his money to go to California?
Well, he was imprisoned in California.
He was in prison in California. Okay. But even though he was in prison in California, all right, if I was in for any length of time, my first or second or third thing wouldn't be, I would love to go on a tour of the stars' homes. I've been in California for a while. I really want to see where Maggie Gyllenhaal lives.
I would do that.
Would you? Would you?
Yeah. You're in prison. All of a sudden you get out, you want to see how the other side lives.
I guess. I just realized one of the mistakes I was making when I was looking for him, I was looking for Gary Allen Cole, but his name is Coe. So that could be one of the reasons I couldn't find him. Even Hollywood's greatest storytellers couldn't create a tale as wild as the past week in Gary Allen Cole's life. Coe, now known to the world as Gary from Chicago, that's what Jimmy Kimmel kept referring to him as, Gary from Chicago, after he joined the Oscars telecast with a group of purported tourists, was released from prison just two short days ago before appearing on the show. That's the Academy Awards.
Wait, this is better than The Voice. You get instant...
Right. Right.
Instant success.
No downtime.
2 days out of prison.
His release was so recent that he is still listed as an inmate at a California prison. It's unclear which crimes led to his imprisonment. His attorney, public defender Karen Nash, posted on Facebook that he had received a life sentence in 1997 for stealing perfume.
Oh, please.
They're very serious about perfume in California.
Hermes? Is it very expensive?
It doesn't say the brand of perfume. But
life sentence
in
for
California,
perfume.
You lift perfume, you're going to the big house. In California, it says here, offenders convicted of multiple crimes can face harsher sentencing. However, it's hard to be more harsh than life imprisonment. I guess the death penalty. If you give somebody the death penalty for stealing perfume, though, that makes you look a little bad.
Who was the judge? Giorgio from Beverly Hills?
Yes. And Jean Nate was in charge of the jury. I find him guilty.
But smells miraculous.
But does he smell like $1 million? However, voters approved a ballot measure in November that made some inmates eligible for parole once they completed their base terms, provided they go on a tour of the Hollywood homes. That's the one restriction that they added in. Coe, age 59, won his freedom earlier this year and was released on Friday, according to Nash's post. When contacted by the Chicago Tribune, Nash confirmed that she represented Coe, but said that she would not discuss his case further without his permission. She described him as a very special human being.
He seemed like it.
Yeah. A person who contacted the Tribune on Monday, purporting to be Coe, said that he was holding hands with his fiance while walking on Hollywood Boulevard on Sunday when he was asked by somebody that he thought worked for the tour bus company if he would like a free sightseeing tour. It's hard to say no to that, isn't it? He and his girlfriend, Vicky, are walking down the street. They're holding hands, and somebody comes up and says, we've got a sightseeing tour. Would you like a free tour?
No one's going to say no to that.
Can't say no to that. Let me just quickly get some perfume, and then I'm on that bus. He said he had no idea that one of the stops would be the Oscars when he boarded the bus with about a dozen other passengers. When they opened the door, we were in the Oscars live, he said. Coe quickly gained Twitter fame as he clutched his phone.
It was
this is
really
the weirdest
funny.
Thing in the world. Because he does. It's such a surrealistic moment for him. He's just taking pictures of all the stars.
Yeah, but Jimmy Kimmel says, you know, this is televised. You don't have to take pictures. But I totally get why he took pictures.
The stars were taking
right
pictures.
There.
But all through the, you saw this, right? Yeah. Even though they've got it on videotape, not on videotape, on the DVR, they can watch it 1,000 times if they want. They were still holding up pictures and doing selfies and stuff. And those are the most famous people in Hollywood. So why wouldn't he?
Plus, you know, when you're up on the stage during the middle of a telecast and you got these A-listers right in front of you, even you would all of a sudden figure out how to use your phone camera.
Yeah, probably. Who was it on the Cubs last year when the Cubs were winning the World Series? One of the guys on the Cubs just kept, like, all throughout, he's running around and he's taking pictures of himself. Do you remember?
I want to say it sounds Anthony Rizzo-like.
Could be Anthony Rizzo. I wouldn't put it past Anthony Rizzo. Coe quickly gained Twitter fame, like I said, clutching his phone, meeting all the celebrities. Those celebrities included Nicole Kidman, Ryan Gosling. When he revealed that he's engaged, actor Denzel Washington then married, quote-unquote, the couple near the stage.
And then got right out of there. Did you notice he did, I pronounce you husband and wife?
And he's done.
And then he just like kind of ran back to his seat.
That was a great setup, though, because Kimmel asked Vicky who her favorite was, and she looks and she goes, that man right there.
Right.
It's like, you know,
now,
you
did you get the
name,
feeling
just,
that
right
he didn't
there.
Know? Because to me, it's like she was in such shock that even though Denzel Washington was just a few yards away, she probably couldn't think of his name at the moment,
Sure.
Could be, or she was just looking for him, and then when she spotted him, she's like, bingo, there he is.
Yeah.
I think she went, that guy, and maybe didn't even know who he was. Because wouldn't you go, Denzel?
I would have said his name.
Yeah.
And then he happens to be there. That's even
better. I think
it
played out great, though, because she's looking for him, and then, boom,
there he is.
Yeah.
Right up front. Coe's daughter, Jackie Williams, age 36, a Chicago native who currently lives in Lafayette, Indiana, said she did not see the initial telecast.
Oh, bummer.
How weird would that be? She's watching TV. Her dad's been in jail for a while. You don't expect to see him, certainly, in the middle of the Academy Awards.
Wait, is
that my dad?
No, it's just my dad.
But her phone was buzzing with messages early on Monday morning. She said her father was born in Memphis, Tennessee, moved to Chicago at the age of 12 in 1969. He lived on the South Shore area before moving to the West Coast in 1992. She then declined to comment about his time in prison. He is a really sweet, genuine, loving type of dad. He's the best. I'm proud of him, Williams said. Coe was supposed to appear on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Monday. I watched it just to see him. I really did. With others from the tourist sketch, but producers scrapped the bit because they made the creative decision to focus on other topics from the Oscars, a Kimmel rep said.
So you mean they changed their mind when they found out that he was a prisoner?
I guarantee you, because Jimmy Kimmel talked about the Academy Awards for almost the entire show.
He would have had him on, too, because he was the Ken Bone of the Oscars.
He was. He was.
He really was.
He was the missing variable. Like, when you're thinking of a bit like that, you hope you have somebody like this. And then he came in and he made it so much funnier. I guarantee you that if he didn't have not just a prison record, but a very unsavory and recent prison record, they would have brought him on for sure. But there was no mention of him at all. Zero.
See, that's weird.
Yeah, I know.
At least you say we tried to get him on, but he, you know, our schedules wouldn't.
Right.
Do like the Matt Damon thing.
Right.
We ran out of time.
Right. You do that with him. And then you give him, like, you know how Ellen always gives a gift to somebody?
Yeah.
Then you give him, you know, you pick
some
a perfume, whatever perfume you want. It's on
me. But now, does it list any other things that his checkered past, or did he just get a life sentence for stealing perfume?
No, he's...
Let's just say multiple convictions.
Yeah, there's some ugly stuff.
But then
there.
He's been released. He'd served his time,
right.
So...
Right. But it's still... It would be hard to have him up there joking around with you, knowing that he very may have been guilty of several of these infractions, because they're not, it's not pretty stuff. The perfume one is the only one where you go, oh, that's kind of cute. The rest of them, not so cute.
Well, it's not cute that when you get a life sentence, so obviously there's some bad stuff before that.
Yeah.
Interesting. We got to take a quick break, and then people want to talk his name is Gary Allen Coe.
C-O-E, yeah.
Gary from Chicago.
Gary from Chicago. Yep.
All right. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. 720. I turned myself off. You lucky listeners. 720.
Ratings just went through the roof. What did you do?
WGN. Gary from Chicago. We've been talking about him. I heard Dean yesterday mention that he was going to be on the Jimmy Kimmel show last night.
He was supposed to be on last night, yeah.
And he wasn't. And it turns out that he was incarcerated. He is from Chicago. By way of Memphis, he was born there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moved here when he was 12, then moved out to L.A., was incarcerated in California.
Right.
Out 2 days, somebody walks up to him and says, hey, was it the night of?
Yeah.
So they just randomly grabbed people that they were going
to
bring.
They were looking to fill the bus up. They didn't have quite enough people, so they had a few extra seats. They wanted it to look successful, of course. So
I thought you were going to say he was on the lam. And then when he appeared on the TV as Gary from Chicago, John Walsh called Jimmy Kimmel and said,
"We're looking for that
Hold
guy.
That guy. We'll be right there to apprehend him."
No,
that's a better story.
An even better story, but that did not play out that way.
All right. I like the whole tour bus bit. Marianne, your thoughts on that?
I thought it was a little degrading to the so-called tourist. They were brought in there not knowing where they were going.
Right.
And I felt they were making fun of them. And now this guy is being talked about on the radio and TV. And I don't know, it was like a bunch of little peons coming in for their entertainment, for the so-called upper crust entertainment.
Marianne, if I was...
It's just how I feel. I just feel they feel they're above everyone.
If I was on a tour and was all of a sudden brought to see like these celebrities sitting there, I would chalk that up as one of the coolest experiences of my life.
See, I wouldn't, but I'm older. I feel I'm older, so that wouldn't really, I wouldn't be impressed by that. I'm just not, I love going to the movies, believe me.
I could see where, to your point, I could see where you would say, look at here's just average people being paraded out in front of Hollywood royalty. I get that, but I think the way they played it was cool because it was such a shock to those people. But I can see your angle on it. I really can.
Like I would have shied back and been embarrassed.
Right.
But like I said, I'm an older person, so I'm past that awe of
no, I understand
and things like that. But I just didn't think it was right.
All right, what one celebrity would you love to just meet like that, past or present?
The guy from Hacksaw Ridge. I thought that movie should have won
Mel more. Gibson?
No, Garfield.
Yeah,
right?
the young man that played the soldier.
Yeah. He was also Spider-Man.
And Mel Gibson. I mean, everybody was knocking him yesterday. It's like, leave him alone. I mean, we all do things and...
Yeah, we discussed that yesterday, whether it's time to forgive Mel Gibson or not. You'd say yeah.
Which someone said he did issue an apology soon
did
thereafter.
He?
Yeah.
Well,
we got a bunch of emails on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a problem. People do these kind of things every day.
Yeah.
What if Judy Garland was in the front row?
What I didn't like is when I forgot her name. She had the red dress on with no back.
Mm-hmm.
She was in The Butler. She said, our profession is the only one that's... She said something that was...
Viola Davis.
Yes, she said something that was insulting to everyone in the world, that they are the only profession that's worth living. She said that.
Oh.
Yeah, she did. That.
She did say
I didn't know
that,
how to take that,
that
really
awful.
Either.
That seems a little much.
Let me get that speech, Bill, because
right.
It seemed kind of weird. Marianne, yeah. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Thanks,
have
Marianne.
Day.
You
and
too.
Happy day.
And to you and yours.
Okay.
A happy Punchki Day from Marianne. Very quickly, Jimmy Kimmel on his show last night was explaining that as the show was in its waning moments, he was sitting in the audience because the plan was announce the best picture, La La Land, we thought, and then have them do their thanks and then cut to Jimmy Kimmel sitting in the audience. So he's sitting next to Matt Damon and he's there and he's getting ready for that last shot where they just say goodnight and it's him and Matt Damon. And then things start to go all haywire and Jimmy Kimmel says... I'm sitting there watching this, and it's just unraveling, and I'm in the audience, and I say to myself, well, the host will make this work. He'll bring it all together. And then he goes, and it dawns on me, I'm the host. It's my job to do that. So he goes, you can see in the shot me bounding up the stairs, and I remember seeing that because I'm like, where was he? He's supposed to be on stage with them, but he's running up the stairs and quickly trying to make sense of it all, and Denzel Washington is in the front row instructing him what to do. He goes, Denzel Washington is pointing to the guy from Moonlight going, give him the microphone. That's the producer from Moonlight. Hand him the microphone. So he goes, without Denzel Washington, we'd still be there.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. I really love Jimmy Kimmel. Viola Davis won the Best Supporting Actress Oscar for her role in Fences. And I did see this quote. I saw her saying it, just the tail end of it. She said some other things, and then she ended it by saying, quote, "We are the only profession that celebrates what it means to live a life." I don't really...
She's probably not accurate on that.
I don't even really understand it.
I think there's probably a bunch of other professions.
We all live our lives every day. Does she mean portray someone else and live a life that way?
I hope that's what she
means. And she just said it wrong?
Yeah, I'm hoping that's what she means.
Because I kind of was like, what? When I heard her say that, too.
I know. The Hollywood bunch gets a little self-congratulatory. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, how many other people's professions? I don't know what everybody does for a living, but you don't have an award season if you sell insurance. You don't have an award season.
But if you're a heart surgeon.
Right. So they do pat themselves on the back a bit.
A lot.
Yeah.
And a heart surgeon not only lives a life, they save
lives.
They
save, right.
You guys have never been to the Hardee's before? It's actually at a Hardee's.
I've been to a Hardee's.
Weird. Yeah.
She was talking about celebrating just regular people.
That's what I imagine.
And
that's what I imagine.
The movie Fences was about this guy who just lived a life.
Yeah.
So that's what I heard her say that in other interviews as well.
Right.
That's what she's referring to.
She's not saying that their profession is better than yours.
No, she's like, my dad. My dad just lived a life, and luckily theater and art can take those people and tell their stories.
Right.
That sounds better then.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then Steve will explain to us what he has coming up on the Winchester Business Lunch. He's going to live his life. It's Bill.
I'll see the world.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Hi, everybody. This is Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, part two of our Monday show. Listen in. Play along. We're at 312-981-7200.
You just make me laugh sometimes. I don't know
why.
I
want people to listen in and play along.
You know, we have worried some people because every once in a while we say something we're not going to be doing the 1 to 3 hour anymore.
Which is true.
That is true.
That part's true.
But we are going to be doing the 10 to noon hour.
Right.
And then at noon o'clock, mm-hmm. we are going to go to a different studio,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to stream.
Yeah.
We won't cross our streams.
This, decades ago, we would have been branded witches if we said we were going to do that, because the technology did not exist. But now that the technology is in place, we're more than thrilled to present a bonus hour of this show from noon to one.
Do we know what we're going to do yet with that bonus hour?
No. Nope.
I got to tell you, it's going to be worth tuning in because we don't have a lot of commercials.
Right. Very few commercials and no limits. They said whatever you want.
Well, we're not going to swear. I know I'm not.
Swearing would be wrong.
For some reason, I've been trained not to swear when there's a microphone in front of me. Which
it's amazing.
It is pretty. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Yeah.
And Judy Pilak will be doing our 12:30 news.
She will swear during the news. I know that for sure. Like if there's a story that she finds needs to be punctuated by swearing, Judy will swear during the news stories. So you don't get that everywhere.
But we're having fun thinking of some interesting things to do. It's still going to be a radio show. It's not like we're going to have a variety show for that hour.
No.
Although that would be a good idea.
That would be a good idea. I don't know if we could pull it off, but we'll make it special. It's a bonus hour for everybody, for you, for me, for Kevin. Are you doing it with us, Kevin? Are you going to be involved?
I'm not sure. I'm on the fence.
I hope Kevin will do it with us.
I feel so bad.
You know, he's going to California. Did you know that?
That's a great Zeppelin
song. I said, what are you going to do in California? And he said, what I've always wanted to do, he wants to be on the Sally Jesse Raphael show. I don't even think they do that show anymore, do they?
I understand he bought a new pair of red-framed glasses just in case.
In case he gets to meet Sally Jesse Raphael.
Is she still with us?
I know she's still alive, but I don't think she does her show anymore. But he's all excited. He's got a calendar, and he's plotting which day would be the best to go see Sally. I don't think she's on anymore, Kevin.
This is one of those moments I just nod and smile.
You don't know who Sally Jesse
She looks familiar, actually.
Okay, he's Googled. Yeah. That's what's so funny. We say things to him on numerous occasions, and he just quickly Googles inconspicuously.
Right.
She had a talk show
It was all the rage.
I do remember, you know, I'm looking at photos and I definitely recognize her. And yeah.
Does she have the red glasses?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, always.
I'm a sneaky Googler.
Always.
That is your band name right there, Sneaky
the
Googler.
The Sneaky Googlers. Kevin and the Sneaky Googlers. So she would have preceded Oprah, right?
No.
Was she after Oprah? I thought she was doing this before Oprah.
Well,
well, certainly during the same time period, but I think Sally Jesse Raphael may have had a show before Oprah, I think.
Well, Oprah started out, what, filling in for Phil Donahue and AM Chicago?
Not filling in. They gave her the show.
Oh, that's right.
She got the show.
I'm not a secret Googler. I'm a very
You're very
loud
proud. You're very proud
You're a boisterous Googler.
Yes.
I am. You know, it's funny. Sally Jesse Raphael hated doing the last few years of her show.
Are you reading that off the internet, or do you just know that?
From People.
Oh, then yeah.
She spent nearly two decades on air as host of the syndicated talk show Sally.
Yeah.
But the 81-year-old...
Oh, I would not have guessed that.
...says she hated working on her show during its last years and blames her producers to driving her into the tabloid subject matter so often associated with Maury Povich and Jerry Springer.
Well, there was some difference. Her show wasn't as exploitative. They didn't make fun of people rip on people the way Maury Povich does. I mean, they're just going for the jugular on that show.
Well, see, the thing is here. I mean, Maury Povich, it's just who's your baby daddy. That's pretty
every
much
day.
It. So it's paternity tests every day.
Variations on that every day.
Why does that still exist?
I don't know. You'd think if you saw it once, you go, "All right, I've seen this." But he does it every day. It's amazing.
But
her show was topic based. Her show was like Oprah.
I gotta
right?
give you credit for something. It was before Oprah.
It was.
Sally Jesse Raphael actually was on Oprah's show, Where Are They Now?
Yeah.
So Oprah had her on, this was dated October of 2016, so fairly recently.
Yeah.
And that's when Sally said that she hated the last couple years of her show. Raphael was the first female to host an audience participation issue drive talk show predating Oprah, as mentioned by Bill Leff, by nearly 3 years.
Yeah. And I have to say, I'm not supposed to like that show. I'm not in the demo for that show. I used to enjoy that show.
She was pretty good.
She was good. She was no Jenny Jones.
Oh my God, that was the worst show ever on TV. It was bad, Bill.
I don't know if it was the worst, but it wasn't great.
It wasn't Maury Povich bad, but it was poor Jenny Jones. I felt sorry for her. She was not that was not a good show.
Well, you know, her background, she was a stand-up comic, and she was on
Should've
Star
stuck
Search.
With that.
And then that was what they tagged her to do. They wanted to find something for her to do, so they gave her this talk show.
A sitcom would have been better.
I'm surprised they didn't go with a sitcom. Because she was attractive, you know? You don't think so?
I didn't say anything.
There was a face there. There was no words, but your face was like,
Yeah, I'll say what I want to say on the radio. Sometimes I give you looks that should remain just looks.
I would never say that on air, but you did give me a look like I could make a better looking lady out of clay. That was what your look said.
She was fine. It's just that wasn't her element, sorry for her, kind of.
Right.
Because I didn't think she was not talented. She just was not a great talk show host.
Can I tell you an inside story about that show?
Yes.
That I'm not supposed to tell anyone, so it's just for you.
Make
I'm not
the
telling
face.
Anyone else.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a good one.
A friend of mine did crowd warm up for that show. Actually, two friends of mine. One of them is John DeCoste, who's on, he's on with Steve once a week or so, twice a week. So he and another friend of mine alternated doing crowd warm up for Jenny Jones's show. And the issue was, a lot of times Jenny Jones did not understand the subject matter of the topic of that day. So the producer would have to explain a lot. You know, they would oftentimes, for 1 hour of show, they would have to tape for 2 hours just to edit it down to get to 1 hour of content.
That doesn't seem very fair that they pretty much told her, here's what you're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, she was slightly involved in the process of what the topics would be, but not enough to where she had a full grasp of whatever the topic was. So there were a lot of days where, like I said, they would tape for 2 hours and then edit it down just to get a palatable hour. So one day she has on a guest. This is according to my friend that was serving as the crowd warm-up.
Not John DeCoste.
It was not John DeCoste. It was someone else whose name I will not mention. because it's not a pretty story.
Okay.
And I don't want them to take the blame. So Jenny Jones has this guest on, and she's interviewing the guest, and the guest is explaining what her husband did to her. And what her husband did was left. They were married for 11 years, and then he left. He one day did that thing that I thought only got done in comic strips, where he said, I'm going to get some cigarettes, and I'm going to the store, and I'll be right back. And then he drove away. He just never came back. So that's the story that was told.
Horrible.
My husband, 11 years of marriage. We had a little bit of an argument, and then he goes, I need some cigarettes. And he gets in the car, and he just drove away. She never saw him again. So Jenny Jones said, do you still love him? And she said, I love the man I married. I did not love the man who drove away. And Jenny Jones said, oh, there were two men. And the crowd went nuts. The crowd started laughing hysterically. And she didn't know why that was funny. Because in her head...
Why was that edited out?
There were two guys. I don't know. I don't know.
This is for reals?
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't think she was a good talk show host. I didn't dislike her. And I do remember seeing her on Star Search. And didn't she do some other stuff?
She did great on Star Search. She was really good on Star Search.
What was with it? And I'm one of them. And my girlfriend, Carla Felicia, former stand-up. We all wore the shoulder-padded blazers. It was just the thing for the women.
Yeah, there was a small window of time where that was the look.
But not every woman partook in the blazer.
No.
But man, I used to go to Salvation Army because there weren't a lot of Goodwills around at that time. Now there, I love Goodwills on every corner practically. Mm-hmm. But I'd go to Salvation Army and buy these old men's jackets with the pads in it, yeah. And that was the good look.
But did you think at the time when you were wearing those jackets with shoulder pads, did you think people thought, Wendy is really muscular?
No, they just said, boy, is she stylish with my hair shaved on one side and my black leggings that always showed a little bit of ankle. Yep. Boy, the 80s were fun.
Sure, sure. And you're going to be in them soon again.
Oh, that's mean.
And
that's
you won't remember
really
either one
mean.
Of them.
It's really mean.
All right, let's
You'll be there with me.
It'll take me a lot longer.
At least
longer.
I'll live to be 80 because women live longer.
Right, I know. Because guys just give up at some point. I can't take it anymore. I'm giving up.
Going to go get some cigarettes.
Right. Are there two guys?
Yeah, there were two guys. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We just had to break the word to Kevin. He's leaving for California in the morning. He's going for a week. That he will not be able to see a taping of the Sally Jesse Raphael show, which has always been a dream of his. He's very upset. And that got us to talking about other shows that were similar, like Jenny Jones's show that taped right here in Chicago. There was a time where we had Oprah, we had Phil Donahue, we had Jenny Jones. We had a bunch of the law shows that were going on. Jerry Springer was going on.
Oh, yeah.
So
we did have a
we
lot.
We had a bunch going on here at one time.
And now we just have Steve Harvey, and he's leaving.
He's leaving.
George is on the line. Hi, George. We were talking about Jenny Jones.
Hi, Bill and Wendy. I've called several times. I'm George the Cop, the drummer.
Oh, yeah. How are you, George?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks. What's up?
Didn't Jenny Jones get sued for somebody committing suicide after one of her shows where she outed somebody?
Not suicide. One of the guests, if I remember this right, stalked and then killed another guest.
Yes. This was March 6th, 1995. Jenny Jones taped an episode called Same-Sex Secret Crushes. I remember this, and I remember watching this.
Yeah.
Scott Amador, a gay man, confessed to an associate, Jonathan Schmitz, that he had a crush on him. And Schmitz appeared unconcerned as he laughed it off in front of the audience. But 3 days after the taping, Schmitz was very upset about it, and he stalked and killed Amador. After the murder made headlines, the producers decided not to air that show. I could have sworn I saw that show.
Well, you've probably seen clips. They've shown some clips of it, but I don't know that they've ever shown the whole episode. But, yeah, that was like the beginning of the end for them.
I forgot about that, George. Thanks for the reminder, I guess.
No problem.
Thanks, George.
Talking to you.
She has a blog now because it says now she cooks and blogs and lives a quiet life.
Jenny Jones does?
Yeah. She looks fantastic. Did you know she was also a drummer?
No.
For who? It says she toured Canada and the U.S. as a drummer in a rock and roll band. Doesn't say
prior
the name of it.
Prior to or after?
This is at the age of 19.
Oh.
She decided to move to Los Angeles and drove her Corvair convertible cross-country with no job, only one suitcase, and a set of drums.
Nice.
She sold movie tickets and worked as a hostess at a strip club. Who hasn't?
Yeah.
To make ends meet, and soon found a drumming job in a beer bar in Santa Monica.
Was making ends meet, is that how they closed the show at the strip club?
I was wondering about that, Bill. I was picturing of making an end meet.
Notice I didn't say really there?
No.
That What's a beer bar?
Really, that's where you went?
Yes. I mean, just a bar, right?
Yeah, a bar Shot that in specializes beer. In beer.
We used to call them bottles and cans.
Yeah.
The bottles and cans bar because you know, the signs would say beer, bottles and cans. Do you ever see those?
No.
You know, the neon signs, they used to say like old style
Hams,
bottles and cans.
Right. The emphasis at those bars wouldn't be on your harder alcohol. Their specialty would just be.
Why couldn't I get a vodka
you could.
And tonic?
It's just they, you know, they
It'd be Kamchatka vodka. You wouldn't want it.
Right.
It led to a job as she was making ends meet.
Always,
go ahead. Pause
always,
for giggle.
Always close the show with that because it's hard to top that.
I don't get it.
Time to go. How do you know?
Oh, I get it. All right. She soon found a drumming job in a beer bar in Santa Monica, which led to a job with an all-girl band in Las Vegas.
Oh.
This is Jenny Jones.
How about that?
By the age of 22, she formed her own all-girl band, the Cover Girls.
Oh, was she in the Cover Girls?
Well, this,
I didn't know
this
that.
Is bad because no one knows this.
Right.
I feel sorry for her even more.
It's a great backstory, though.
Making ends meet.
I don't get it. I don't understand that at all.
The Cover Girls toured successfully for 2 years, covering the Nevada circuit, even playing a special engagement in her hometown, which is up in the bio somewhere.
Yeah.
She was London, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, I didn't know that either about her.
This is very interesting. The Cover Girls toured successfully, blah, blah, blah. Her father came to a show and finally accepted her career in music. By 24, the band had split. And
I still haven't accepted it. Have you?
And Jenny married a fellow musician and settled in Vegas.
Oh.
Finally off the road.
That sounds like a marriage that'll last forever.
It doesn't at all. By now an accomplished musician, she was discovered by Wayne Newton.
How about that?
How about that?
Come on. When do we start saying she's making this up?
You want to say
you're
really, but
this up.
No, she was discovered.
By
I'm
Wayne
not that
Newton?
Creative to make this stuff up.
Dankeschön, Wayne Newton.
She was discovered by Wayne Newton, who offered her a job as a backup singer, and within a month appointed her the arranger for his backup vocals.
That's a dream come true.
While working with Wayne Newton, Jones's first marriage ended, and at age 27, she met and married her second husband, a record executive.
Yeah.
She just goes to stability.
At the age of 34, her second marriage ended,
and
she decided to pursue comedy as a full-time career.
Well, sure. After all those sad things happened to you, why wouldn't you jump into comedy?
At night, she played the clubs for free. During the day, she supported herself by working as a caterer, an office manager, and she did She also did temp work for Famous Amos Cookies.
Did she? All right.
All of a sudden, it's like, wow.
Like, yeah.
The angels are singing.
Right. Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
All right. Well, Jenny Jones, you can go to her website, jennyjones.com, and tell her we said
some nice things
about her.
Absolutely. We'll take a quick break. Steve with the news, and then a lot more Jenny Jones facts.
I didn't know any of that.
Do you feel more? Is your life richer now for knowing that?
I like to know about
people. Yeah, it's good to know about people.
Where are they now? We always talked about doing like a.
This is an opposite, though. This is where were they then?
I like this one better.
They were famous, not after. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there is more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Is this the hipped up, tripped up version of Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto?
I think it may be, yeah.
Hey, Kevin, you need to get our guests some headphones. Sorry. We don't have people in the studio a lot because no one likes to come visit us, but today is an exception. Oh, you're good to go. Michelle Nichols is with us, master educator at Adler Planetarium. Excuse me. We were talking off the air, and don't take offense to this when I said, are you a Star Wars fan or a Star Trek fan? Your answer?
Both.
Why wouldn't you be both?
I mean, there's room in our hearts yes. for both. Come on.
Yes.
There really is. And, you know, the planets, it all kind of ties in together. Plus, Nichelle Nichols played...
Uhura. Lieutenant Uhura.
Uhura, isn't it?
Uhura. Yeah.
So that got me thinking. And then we were talking about, this is a little behind the scenes of what we talk about. And then we'll get to the real reason you're here, Michelle. We were talking about Bill Paxton because I am still in shock, dead at the age of 61. He died following complications from heart surgery. It appears he had a stroke during recovery of that surgery. Terribly tragic, which shows you any kind of surgery can be... it can end up in death, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And Michelle, you mentioned something that we didn't know about. Why don't you give us a little backstory, and then I have the whole story.
Yeah, so my husband and I are really big weather fans. We just love watching the weather. And so I follow Reed Timmer, who's one of the storm chasers, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted an image on Facebook a couple days ago. I think it happened on Sunday, that they all, or a lot of the storm chasing teams who were inspired by Twister and Bill Paxton,
sure.
and all that, they got together and formed with their radio beacons on, and there's a network that you can apparently track all this. They formed a B and a P, and they took a picture oh. of that on the network. And so you can see all these little red dots or blue dots or whatever they were, indicating where all those teams were when they took that
That's
picture.
That's a nice tribute to
it was
him.
It's really cool.
Very nice.
It's using their spotter network markers. Hundreds of storm chasers and weather fanatics lined up Paxton's initials across the tornado alley in Kansas and Oklahoma as a tribute because of Twister.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
It just shows you can get inspiration for science anywhere.
Sure.
So yep,
it really does. What do we know about this? They made the announcement about a week or so ago that there's this kind of colony of new planets that they didn't know. I shouldn't say new planets, new to the scientists who study them. They had no idea these were in existence, but they say they could be. It's possible they could be inhabitable, right? What do we know about these?
So these are seven planets that are orbiting a small red dwarf star. So when we say small, it's smaller than our sun.
Mm-hmm.
Red meaning it's cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all approximately Earth-sized. Now, we don't know if they are Earth-like.
Mm-hmm.
So by Earth-like, we mean, is there a proper atmosphere? Is there water on the surface? All that kind of stuff. There's a whole lot of things.
Are there Kardashians?
Well,
yeah.
depends on which Kardashians you want to run into.
Right.
A few of them can have some redeeming qualities. Not all of them, though.
You know, it sounds like a foreign species, quite honestly, like the Romulans, the Kardashians.
It is
the Kardashians,
yeah.
isn't
yeah,
it?
Are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
I guess I'd rather run into a Kardashian than a Romulan.
So
I don't
true.
Know.
So true.
I don't know.
So just because it's Earth-sized, we'd be silly to believe it's the same size as our planet, so it'd be inhabitable. What based on what are they hoping that it could possibly be inhabitable?
Well, the first thing you really want to look for is something very close to Earth-sized, because that means rocky surface,
oh.
surface you can stand on.
Oh.
And they also did look for what they call a puffy atmosphere, meaning an extended... think something more like Jupiter kind of atmosphere. And they don't have that, which is a good thing, because you want it to not be like Jupiter. You want it to be like Earth. And so the next thing they're going to have to look for, we need the James Webb Space Telescope to be able to do this, is they want to actually study these planets in more detail. They want to study their atmospheres, if they have them, and a whole lot more that we want to learn about them.
See, I love science and I love space, and it's really fun going to the Adler Planetarium. I've been hearing a lot about this solar eclipse that's coming up, I believe, in August. Now, it's going to be dark during the day, correct?
It is going to be a big, huge deal. So there's a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse, meaning the moon is going to completely block the sun
mm-hmm.
in a path that extends for about 71 miles from Oregon to South Carolina. And so the epicenter, the place that's going to see the longest period of this eclipse, is approximately Carbondale, Illinois.
Oh,
so
wow.
Southern Illinois University is planning a huge party.
Mm-hmm.
And so here in Chicago, about 85 to 90% of the sun will be covered by the moon. It won't look dark to your eyes because our eyes continuously adjust to the dark. And so, but also the sun is still extremely bright. Even 15% of the sun is still a lot of sun.
Yeah.
And so this will not be something you can just look up and see unless you're wearing properly protecting glasses, yeah, those solar viewing glasses.
So we have to do the shoebox and the pinhole and the aluminum foil?
Sure. That's a great way to do it. Or, or you don't need any materials whatsoever. You can take your hands, and for those on the listening on the radio, I'll try to describe this. I've got my hands put together so the kind of web in between your thumb and your first finger.
Like, yeah, the loser sign. It's the crease of,
yeah,
the L.
Exactly. The crease of the L. Stick the two of those together in your hands till you make a little teeny tiny little pinhole.
Yeah.
And you can project a little image of the sun onto the ground using a little teeny tiny pinhole. Or look around for leaves on trees. It'll be August. Hopefully there will be leaves on, yeah, trees by then.
All right.
There are little holes in the leaves. There's spaces in between the leaves. Look for little eclipses, little crescent suns on the ground from that. I've even been told, I have curly hair,
yeah,
on top of my head. I've been told that possibly the spaces in between the curls and the hair on top of my head might even be able to act like little pinholes as well. So this is something I want to try, is try to make a little eclipse on the ground with the hair on my head.
Okay, so you're not looking up at the sun with
no,
that little hole.
No,
you're going to,
correct,
make it so the shadow,
yes,
of, or the rays.
The light from the sun, the pinhole acts like a little lens. So this is definitely not something you look through, because you can damage your eyesight by doing that. Just like if anybody has stuck the pinhole box over your head and,
yeah,
looking for they did that to me, I think, when I was 5 or 6.
No.
And that's why you wanted to do this for a living.
Well, I visited the other planetarium too, so that's,
oh,
when I was a kid. So that's why I want to do this. But yeah, you want to make a little pinhole. Use something to make a pinhole. It could be
even a piece of paper.
A piece of paper with a pinhole in it, an index card, a piece of aluminum foil, anything. And you can do some fun science with it, too. Change the size of the pinhole. Change the material that you use.
Yeah.
Make the distance in between the pinhole and the ground, or the pinhole in your screen, which could just be another piece of paper. Make that longer. Try it out. See what happens.
On this day that this eclipse takes place.
August 21st.
Yes. August 21st,
which is a Monday.
How much time will we have start to finish to do all these things?
So here in the Chicago area, it'll start approximately at 11:54 a.m.
Yeah.
It will end at approximately 2:42 p.m. And I'm saying approximately because places farther west of Chicago will start to see the eclipse slightly earlier,
uh-huh,
and places to the east will see it slightly later.
Yeah.
So depending on where you are, those times might be slightly different, especially since the signal goes out to a wide area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You definitely want to check.
Well, people who don't know it's coming, will there be panic in the streets?
If you're within the path of totality and you,
yeah,
don't know it's coming, I can see people getting a little concerned,
yeah,
about all of a sudden the sun disappearing from the sky. Although I'm hoping that all those states who know that this is coming, they're doing a fantastic job all over the country getting the word out
they
about
are.
This.
Right.
And big kudos to the state of Missouri, too.
Right.
They're doing a lot.
All right. I just put it in my phone. August 21st, the event solar eclipse, location sky.
Yep.
11:54 a.m. to 2:52
p.m. Did you really put location sky? Did you put? Oh, you did.
What does that say?
Location sky. Because that's the best place for an eclipse when you think about it, is in the sky, right?
I would hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And it goes to 2:52 p.m.
Yeah.
About 2:42.
2:42-ish.
With no break in the middle. Straight through.
Straight through.
Straight
and
through.
The period, the time when the moon most covers the sun from here in Chicago, like I said, about 90%,
yeah,
is about 1:19 p.m., somewhere,
wow,
around there.
And a lot of times when there's an eclipse, scientists say to us, pay attention to this eclipse because there won't be another one for another 168 years. They always say that. Is there another one coming real soon? Or
yeah,
what?
There is, actually.
Oh, there is.
Yeah,
all right.
So there's two to look out for. So there's the one in 2017. There's another one. It's a partial eclipse. I want to say it's 2023. Sorry, 2023.
That's still a long ways off.
Yeah.
And then the one right after that in 2024.
Oh.
When was the last one?
So the last, we've had some partial eclipses. So there was one a few years ago. It was cloudy around here. So we got like a 30-second glimpse of it or something. It was near the end of the day. The last time we had anything to this magnitude was in 1994.
It's a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. There was also another one around the year 2000-ish on Christmas Day.
But there's all they have their own like special categories. Like they always say that, and to the common man, we hear it and we go, "Wow, no more eclipses for hundreds of years." But there's an eclipse of some sort almost every year, right?
On planet Earth, yes, there are. Yeah. There's at least one or two, but not necessarily visible from everywhere.
Yeah.
On average, an eclipse, a total solar eclipse, will come around your area about every 375 years, mm-hmm. on average. The last time we had totality here in Chicago was, I think, the year 1806.
Wow.
I think. So Chicago wasn't even around.
In Carbondale, will you be able to see darkness?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that is going to freak all the college kids out.
Oh, they're planning a huge party. Eclipse.siu.edu. They're going nuts.
They find a reason to have parties there.
Oh, yeah.
They find them.
And we're going to be partying with them. So we're going to have some staff down there helping out.
Okay, and I know that you're not really supposed to look up at the sun anyway, but why is it so dangerous when there's a solar eclipse?
Well, that's just it. During totality, if the moon completely covers the sun from your location, it is safe to look at.
Oh,
But we're not going to get full coverage here.
No, we are not going to get full coverage here. No. So it will. There's way too much sun here. So you definitely need to keep those solar viewing glasses on at all times. But if you're within that path of totality, mm-hmm. and there's no clouds, you can take those glasses off during totality. And I encourage people to stare at it, burn it in your brain, because it is. I've seen one. I sobbed. I was not expecting.
Did you really?
I believe it.
I did. I was not expecting that reaction. I had no idea what I was going to do.
Yeah.
But I was told by a very smart person, just look at it.
Yeah.
Don't take pictures. Professionals will take pictures.
Buy
their pictures later.
Right. Live the moment.
Put the phone down. Put everything down.
And stare into the sun.
Stare it to the sun.
Seems like solid advice.
Something your mom told you never to do. Except during a total solar
right.
eclipse.
That's got to be so weird, though, to just all of a sudden it's like the sun is completely covered up. That's got to be a moving moment.
It is. You completely understand why people were terrified of these things.
Yeah.
If they didn't know one was coming.
Michelle, I remember an eclipse when I was a kid where during the eclipse, everything around us turned a strange shade of like orange. You know, so I remember that just looking around going, I'm not used to this color existing everywhere in nature like that, but it did.
Well, one thing that people may notice here in the Chicago area, again, we won't get totality, but you may kind of notice that the lighting looks a little off.
Yeah.
And you can't quite put your finger on what it is.
Right.
And so that'll be the reason why.
So 85% will be covered here in Chicago, you say?
Exactly.
Only 15 exposed?
Yep. Big party at the Adler, too.
August 21st. It's a Monday. Put it in your iPhone like I did. The location is sky. 11:54 a.m. to 2:52 p.m. somewhere in that ballpark.
Yep.
Good. I am totally psyched.
Stay where you are. We've got more of this sort of discussion. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 will get it done. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. You have to accept this song. You have to. I know it's a long song. Some days it would play like on my alarm when I'd wake up, and it was still playing when I went to bed that night. That's
Total
how long
Eclipse
that song
of the Heart?
Is. Yeah.
Why not Dark Side of the Moon? Why'd you go to a woman
Eclipse.
Who sounds like Rod Stewart?
Back me up on this, Michelle. That's a beautiful song.
It's an awesome song.
That's a beautiful song.
Rockin' song.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Now, to must admitting, Dark Side of the Moon is one of the greatest albums
song.
Ever.
Yeah.
And excellent, excellent.
Yeah. All space music is great. Space Oddity's great.
Yep.
I like the theme to Space Invaders, quite honestly.
It's a pretty good song.
Michelle Nichols with us for one time only. She'll probably never come back.
I wouldn't blame you if you never came
back. I'll be back tomorrow
if
you guys
all right.
ask me to.
All right.
Oh, awesome. Well, I love the science stuff, and it's funny because that was one of my favorite subjects in school, all through grade school and high school. I love science. Whenever we have someone on from the Adler Planetarium, we get a lot of calls and a lot of people that say, wow, this is really interesting. I like to garden. I know that there's a harvest that happened on the space station. Could you give us a little information about that?
They recently harvested Chinese cabbage. And
this
so,
is huge news, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, there's
is that bok choy or is that a separate food?
It's a separate food.
It is. Okay,
yes.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. The
see the questions we have.
Totally. No, I mean, I know a lot of your listeners must love to garden. So yeah. There is a little garden up on the space station. It's called Veggie.
Yeah.
And Veggie is this contained system that allows the astronauts to plant different plants, seeds or what have you, and grow them. And we can study them. And in some cases, they've been harvested. And in other cases, they've been harvested and eaten.
Oh,
and
wow.
So what they recently did was they planted some Chinese cabbage. It was analyzed for its flavor profile and nutrition content.
Uh-huh.
And the astronauts really liked that one. But just in case, because your taste buds sometimes change, lose their ability to kind of taste things up in space, they brought up some packages of ranch dressing just to be on the safe side.
Yeah. Why would your taste buds not work properly in space?
So they don't know for certain, but they think it has to do with the fact that when you're up in space, you're in a microgravity environment. The fluids kind of redistribute in your body. Right now, us just sitting here, gravity's pulling down on us.
Yeah.
So the fluids in your body tend to go down toward your feet. And when you're in a microgravity environment, they redistribute evenly.
Hmm.
And so your face then, they say, feels like you're stuffed up. And
like sinus congestion
Like sinus congestion. So when you have a cold, you may not be able to taste things quite as well. They think something similar happens to
Could they develop something to correct that?
Yes, they call it hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
So they bring sriracha up there with
them? There is a bottle. I guarantee you there's a bottle of sriracha up on the space station right now. Soy
Beautiful.
Sauce, honey, different kinds of hot sauces.
Yeah.
Anything to add flavor to food.
All right. They have these MREs, meal replacement. Is that what they're called?
Meals ready to eat.
Yes.
Yes.
My 14-year-old asked if he could order some on Amazon because he thought it would be cool to try them. He said they weren't very good, but that's what they're eating up there, aren't they?
No, they're actually eating. A lot of times it's food very similar to what you would get right off the shelves. The only difference is occasionally they have to take some of the water out of the food, dehydrate it just to make it lighter so it's less expensive to lift it up into space.
Oh.
And so it's more like if he goes to a sporting goods store to the camping section and get maybe the dehydrated chicken and rice or something or freeze-dried, get that. Or
I could just make dinner some night.
Exactly. That's the point. It's more like your plain old ordinary food. Ravioli, the stuff out of the can, similar kinds of stuff.
So they're eating real food up
there.
They're
eating real food up there, yeah.
And the stuff they grew, the Chinese cabbage, this is the International Space Station.
Yes.
Is it something kind of like what we saw in The Martian where he is growing stuff?
Yeah, yeah. It's a much smaller unit that they're using. It's these little pillows that they're planting the seeds into and different colored lights. And they monitor water. And Peggy Whitson, who is a NASA astronaut, she is up there tending the garden right now, and she loves it. And one of the things that they've said is, because they've grown things like sunflowers and zinnias and zucchinis and all that, and they say that it really adds a pop of color to the space station that you just don't otherwise get. And it's mentally as healthy as it is to eat some of this stuff. But right now, the only two things that have been grown and then eaten is red leaf lettuce and the Chinese cabbage. But more to come.
That's so cool.
Did you ever see a movie 1,000 years ago called Silent Running with Bruce Dern where he's an astronaut and it's his job to take care of a garden in space?
I haven't, but I'll bet you my husband has.
It's such a great movie. It gets a little sad toward the end, but it's such a great movie, and now it's become kind of reality.
Yeah, and the thing that NASA is trying to do is find these plants that are easy to grow, quicker to grow, use less resources or fewer resources, and then you can harvest them and eat them right away.
Oh, wow.
Something like wheat or rice would be a lot harder because it takes longer to grow them. And they use a lot of resources, a lot of water, and you have to mill them. You have to do stuff to them to get them edible.
Yeah.
And then way far down the line is anything like an animal. Probably not, or I would be surprised if they would ever do that because they'd be competing for your water, air, and food.
Oh, that's sure. True. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
We don't have a whole lot of time, but SpaceX made an announcement yesterday that's pretty important.
Yeah, so SpaceX has announced that two people have paid an undisclosed amount of money
yeah.
to ride along on their Dragon crew capsule, crew spacecraft, which hasn't launched yet. And they are going to go to the moon, around, and back.
Mm-hmm.
And the timeline given is relatively short. Timelines in space exploration are always fluid, so it may get pushed back. Who knows? But it's ambitious, and that's it's pretty exciting.
How long will that take to run its course?
The actual mission itself, yes. Launch to landing, I'm going to guess, would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 to 7 days because it takes...
That's it?
Well, it takes 2 or 3 days to get there, and you might hang out there a while, 2 or 3 days to get back. That's how long it took the Apollo astronauts. To get there and back, unless you hang out.
Will these two people who paid the money, will they have to go through any special training in order to do this?
Absolutely.
They will, right?
Absolutely, yeah. As Elon Musk had said, they'll go through some sort of extensive training to be able to do this.
I don't know what's wrong with me, but I would be scared as hell to do it. Michelle Nichols, Master Educator at Adler Planetarium, if someone offered to pay your fare to go, would you do it?
I bet you would do it.
Not on the first flight.
You wouldn't, but eventually you would.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it's scary. Space is scary. I've seen too many movies, and it's just so far away.
Think of it this way. There's thousands of people working on the ground to keep you safe.
Sure.
That's their job.
Yeah, I guess, but still. You'd wait till the second trip.
Hey, there's risk getting into a car.
Yeah.
So it's all right. It's going up instead of sideways.
That's wild.
I'm afraid to take an Uber to Wrigley Field. So this is way in the future for me. It was great to finally meet you in person. We've talked to you on the phone. Come on in anytime.
I'll be here whenever you guys call. Right. Let me know.
And AdlerPlanetarium.org, is that the place to send people?
Please come.
Yep. Are you having a viewing party for the solar eclipse on August 21st?
Absolutely. Big viewing party. Check the website. We'll put more information up soon.
Excellent. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being
Thank
there.
You.
Michelle Nichols from the Adler, where she is a master educator. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Fantastic job, as always.
Steve, great job.
Oh, really?
Thank you.
She
did spectacular.
I want to talk about something. I think I brought this up last week that I've been watching the show Hoarders on A&E.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets me thinking, I mean, I just feel really bad for some of these people. And then I this is how my brain works. Welcome to the inside of my brain right now. Then I think of Bill Paxton, only 61 years old. He dies, didn't expect to die, was apprehensive about his heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So then I start thinking, I'm not getting any younger. What if I die? What will people find that I have in my house since I'm a slight hoarder?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want them to find weird things. Poor Jim is never going to be able to find any of my stuff.
Because you have so much of it, or
I
why?
I have a couple file cabinets filled with tax returns from, I don't know, 93.
But, well, you don't need those anymore.
I know.
Don't you have, like, one area that he knows is the important stuff?
Not
you don't
really.
Have that? Oh, you should have that.
I know. This is The Hoarders has changed my life.
Yeah.
Watching that show makes me want to be a better person and be more organized and get a will.
You should have a will.
My mom calls it her death drawer.
The death drawer,
right? A lot of parents and
that sounds happy.
Older siblings have a death drawer, too, and show you where it is.
So in the death drawer is a will, I'm guessing.
Just all your documents.
All important documents.
I don't know where any of my documents are.
Oh, yeah, you need that.
I'm getting it organized.
When do you? What's your target date?
As soon as my bedroom is rehabbed.
Mm.
We're getting a, I mean, there's nothing in our bedroom right
mm-hmm.
now, so I have a clean canvas
mm-hmm.
not to mess up this time since I've been watching Hoarders.
Oh, all right. That could work out nice.
You think if you have weird things... Like, I save a lot of stupid things. I can't think of any embarrassing thing, but
there's nothing embarrassing you have anywhere?
No, if I think something happened to me and Jim had to go through all my junk drawers, which are pretty much all the drawers.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd find anything that he'd go, oh my God, she did what?
Yeah.
But there was an article that was put out, and there are people that reveal shocking finds they make after their parents have passed away and they're going through their belongings.
Right.
Like some really weird stuff, and I'd like to share that with everyone.
I'd love to hear it.
For instance, someone, their parent passed away.
Yeah.
Actually, not my parents, but my great-grandmother. She had a stroke in her 80s. She died in a nursing home not long after. She led a very... let's call it vibrant life.
Yeah.
She traveled extensively. She had all sorts of fascinating things scattered around. When her house was being cleaned up to be sold, this person who wrote this says my grandmother, her daughter, found a voodoo doll. And that voodoo,
a voodoo doll?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I have a voodoo doll. It's just for decoration. There's just a few pins in it, just not
just
anywhere.
To be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this wasn't fun. The crotch of this voodoo doll was full of vicious-looking rusted pins.
Oh, no.
And it was at full capacity. No idea how she jammed all of those pins in the crotchal region or who she wished rusty crotch death upon. We never found out.
So they don't know if
no.
it was like a husband or an ex-boyfriend or Regis Philbin.
He doesn't deserve rust crotch.
I don't know why anyone would do that to Regis Philbin. Oh, that's awkward.
That is very awkward.
And the worst part is they will never know.
I
There's
know.
No way to know then, ever.
Laura Hohenstein did this at suggest.com, but she had a grudge of some sort and was mad at somebody. There was another person who sent in this email. I don't have a name. They're not identified. My father had Parkinson's disease for 42 years. He couldn't roll socks.
Yeah.
So he only wore a pair of socks once and bought new ones.
Yeah.
However, he never threw out any of the old socks. So I found 250 pounds of socks, about 2,000 pairs, by the way, in the house when he died. Not a single pair had been washed. I got the bright idea of tossing them into the washer for using them again. Most of them, certainly those that were likely 40 or 50 years old, just kind of disintegrated and fell apart.
That's strange. Where would you keep that many?
That's how hoarders starts.
I don't know where you could possibly keep 250 pounds of socks.
Which were 2,000 pairs. Although, I'm telling you, I can never find socks for the boys in our house. So I wish I had 2,000.
Go to an estate sale at this guy's house.
We have some listeners that want to jump in. 312-981-7200.
Can I tell you quickly, a friend of mine, one of my best friends, his grandmother, when she died, she was a very by-the-book woman, you know? There was no messing around with this lady, as straight and narrow as you could ever find. And when his sister was cleaning out her things, he found in an old tin a single marijuana cigarette, which was not in keeping with her personality at all.
Well, that's why it was there, because she wanted to smoke it, but she couldn't get herself to do it, yes.
I know where my temptation is. It's in a tin in my secondhand drawer, and it's always going to be there. But he said that was so not like her. Just one.
See, I got to clean up my act, man, because I don't want Jim to find anything and go, what was she thinking?
Yeah.
Bill, you have a story?
I do. My friend Don and her sister were cleaning out her 89-year-old father's assisted living apartment after he passed away. And my friend's in the front room and all of a sudden hears this scream in the bathroom and goes running in there, and her sister's on the floor laughing hysterically, couldn't speak. And all she does is point up to the medicine cabinet, and there was an open box of condoms in the medicine cabinet. And they just sat on the floor and laughed and laughed. And that's just a great story.
That is a great story.
So God bless him. You know, 89 and still protecting himself.
Good for him.
That is great.
To all of us, right?
Thank you,
Thank
Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
You don't want any accidents.
I know, but you also don't want your kids to find this stuff when you pass.
This should be a job. I don't think this is a job, but this should be a job. You subscribe to some service where upon your death, they know the spots in your house or apartment to go to.
The cleanup crew.
Yeah. You know, like Harvey Keitel and every, right? So, yeah, you get a guy who goes, hey, before the family goes in to clean out stuff, I'm contracted by the family to come in and just clean things up a little bit first. It's in everyone's best interest that I do this. That would be a smart job.
Why don't you start doing it? We're losing some hours here.
I do have more spare time.
I'll help
you. All right,
you.
Maybe we could do that.
I'll cover the woman stuff. You can cover the
All
man
right.
stuff.
I think it's a good idea.
What will we call ourselves?
I'm still working on the name.
All right. We have to take a break, and then I'm embarrassed. Like, we shouldn't even be hearing about this, but when someone passes away and you go in, usually a parent, you go in to clean.
Right.
It's your parent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really uncomfortable. So please share with us. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. All right. right, it's Bill and Wendy here. We were talking about when your parents or sibling, when someone in your family dies.
Maybe a husband or a wife.
Yeah, you have to go in and kind of clean out their stuff.
You might find things that are a little shocking, maybe, possibly.
Yeah, and I was reading some of these, and some of them are more shocking than I...
Are you shocked by it?
Well, this
That's a good barometer.
Can I just tell you, this is weird, okay? A man cleaning out his mother's house after she passed in North Canton, Ohio, found a footlocker with baby human skeletal remains in it. After several months of testing, it came back that they were children of the mother, possibly twins. They have no idea how long ago they died. They're not sure if they were stillborn. The remains show no signs of injury, but that doesn't rule out foul play. With her being deceased and no one else knew about them, they have nothing to go on. That is kind of weird.
That's crazy. So what would you do with that information? I don't know.
Nothing.
Oh, that's
and you'll never know. That's,
no, I guess not.
This one, liquor bottles, probably at least 300 of them, if not more, hidden in the walls because my mother had begun remodeling my father's house and he was a hardcore alcoholic. Most of the bottles' labels had deteriorated, but they were almost all identical in shape and size. Once he switched to drinking a fifth of Jim Beam and a six-pack of Schlitz per day, he found a different way to dispose of the bottles, so he put them in the walls.
Huh. That seems normal.
I got to get my life in order. I really do. I don't want to. I just don't want.
But you said you don't have anything embarrassing, so you're all right. Except
no,
I don't believe you. I think
I
you
really
have something embarrassing somewhere.
It's not embarrassing. I'm embarrassed that I'm not very organized.
Yeah.
And I think Laura will build on this. Hi, Laura.
Hi. How are you?
We're good.
Well, my mom died just about a year ago, and we started going through all her things, and we had no idea how organized, detailed she was.
Hmm.
She had lists of what she gave. There's five children, and I'm not going to go into how many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, but she had lists of what she had given all of us for Christmas. Her clothes were organized by color.
Just like me.
Oh, yeah. She put labels on certain things because she's got antiques from her grandparents. And you open something up and there's a label in there or a note and it says, great uncle Augustus made this in 1847.
Wow.
Please do not throw out. And it's just amazing. I mean, I had no idea she was that detailed and that organized.
She made your job so easy, Laura.
It is, but it's also so sad because I never appreciated it. I didn't know.
Yeah, I guess.
But it is. It is. It's just amazing. And every time we open something or find something, it's like she wrote this. So in a way, we're thinking she knew that she was maybe sicker than she let everybody else on to. And she was just, I mean, she had Christmas presents this Christmas for 2016. She had in the basement labeled Christmas presents for certain grandchildren and daughters-in-law that she had made because she was very much a crafter. And she had them pre-made, and she listed who's supposed to get what.
Oh my!
Usually if someone's that meticulous, you see telltale signs of it throughout their life. You never saw anything that led you to believe she'd be doing this.
Not that detailed.
Oh, wow.
Not that detailed. I mean, she was, she was very organized. She was a nurse. So she, was very meticulous about things, but had no idea that she kept lists for that long and was that organized about, who hosted Christmas in 1982. I can tell you.
It's all on the list.
Who was it, by the way, Laura? We're curious.
I can't remember.
That's all right. Sorry about your mom. It's still very fresh. You said just about a year ago. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See, I got to take care of my
family.
But
that's a good surprise. That's a nice surprise to find out your mom is organized.
How about this surprise? Hi, Jensen.
Hello. I will never be able to unsee. my dad passed away suddenly at 70 of a heart attack, and myself and a family friend were cleaning out his townhouse. And he kind of had an off-again, on-again girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But we moved the bed, and there was a pair of handcuffs tied to the headboard with a piece of rope.
Oh, my. See,
well, she may have been a villain of some sort,
strange,
a bad person.
And I did have to snap a picture with my phone. We kind of just stood there and looked at each other. Like, it could have been worse, but it certainly was something.
That's the right way to look at it. It could have been worse.
For, them, or were we creeped out, or, you know, if I make it to 70, I hope I'm, you know.
Can I tell you something?
When you were talking about the service that
yeah.
we need, on the British TV show Coupling, there's two buddies, best buddies, and they say, we're such good friends, we're porn buddies. So if one of them dies, they'll go to the other's house and remove all the porn before the family can find it.
That's what you got to do.
Go, well, you know, downside is your best friend died. Upside is you just doubled your collection.
Yeah.
And they have a pact. They're like, so you have to find someone and make that pact.
Bill, I'll clean up your porn. I don't have any.
Yeah.
I just have cookbooks. Hey, Jensen, I'm kind of, I got to tell you, Jensen, when you said this about your father who passed away suddenly, first of all, very sorry about that. Second of all, I'm honestly blushing. I feel myself blushing that handcuffs and a rope was found under his bed. Speechless.
Yeah, pretty much speechless.
Is it possible she was released into his custody at some point, maybe?
No, probably not. You know, he was divorced from my mom for over a decade.
Yeah.
And they both moved on with life and had happier lives apart from each other than together. And maybe he had interests that my mom didn't, and he found someone to pursue that with. But, just, you know.
Yeah, I'd stop thinking about it if I were you,
Johnson.
Yeah,
don't reexamine it anymore.
Thank you for calling.
70, and you keep going. God bless him. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. This is like my goal. Tim, what did you find after who passed away?
Well, my wife is one of many sisters. By the way, I love you guys.
Oh, thank you.
I want John 24/7.
Oh, that's too much. You'll find really strange things after I die if we're on 24/7.
My wife's sister was married to a man, and she was very, very unhappy. It was a bad relationship because he was just an SOB. And she knew he was going to leave her high and dry. And she didn't work. She never drove. She never had a job. And so when she passed, which is a few years ago, my wife was in charge of going through the stuff because he didn't want to touch nothing. And she and one of her other sisters were going through the house. They found money stuffed in every shoe in the closet, under the underwear, in her
drawer.
I mean, they found money all over the place so that if he left,
she'd have something.
But they were astounded because they had no idea. The sisters were astounded. And I don't even know. I think they gave the money to her daughter, who knew nothing about it either. But what an unbelievable story. And they were just shocked at the amount of money. There was another story. I don't know if you got time for this, but.
Sure, we'll pull up a chair. We got about 30 seconds.
My wife and I, my wife passed a couple years ago.
Mm. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, me too. She's a great lady.
Oh.
But in our younger days, we were quite active.
Wendy.
All right, we're running out of time here, Tim. Get to the point.
Wink, wink, wink.
Well, it turned out she had taken a picture of me one day while I was sleeping, and Mother Nature had done its thing.
Oh, my God.
And she took it with a Polaroid.
I'll wait. Take all the time you need.
With a Polaroid.
She showed it to me. I said, oh, my God, you've got to get rid of that. She said, one of our kids. We have six children. I said, our kids are going to find that, and I will never be able to face them.
Look, Daddy's a sundial.
Oh, my God. Just really.
When she did pass,
I'm so sick of boys.
And boxes of photographs.
Yeah.
And I went through every one of them one at a time. I mean, thousands. And I never found that photograph, so I don't know what she did with it.
eBay.
Yeah, he was proud of the picture.
All right, Tim. Well, thank you very, very much.
You guys take care.
You as well. Thank you for listening.
How about that?
How about that? There are more people that have things to talk about, but that's my goal, like especially doing remodeling right now. I'm hoping we'll open up a wall and find like money.
Sure.
Never has happened.
I don't think that'll happen, but keep trying. All right, more of your calls and texts. What are they going to find when you die, or what have you found when somebody close to you has passed away? We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill. It's Wendy. I was reading on Suggest.com. People reveal shocking finds made while cleaning out their deceased parents' home. There was one woman who... I can't read that on the air.
No.
grandfather who was straight-laced. He wasn't really that straight-laced, if you want to know the truth.
That's not good.
My mother passed away at the end of 2007 when my sister and I were cleaning out her bedroom, packing clothes to be delivered, blah, blah, blah. I told my sister we should look under the mattress, not only hers, but also my father's bed. I don't know why they had two separate beds. My mother used to joke about hiding money from the government and said it's under the mattress. Well, my sister said, why don't we give it a shot? Under my mother's mattress, nothing. Under my father's mattress, there was an envelope. In it, there was a small note, yellow with age. On it were written two words, ha ha.
Oh,
that was it.
Cruel.
No money.
That's just cruel.
That's really funny. Some of these, we can't really...
I know that five is interesting, but there's a word that we've already coached that cannot be said. Yes. There's a two-word answer that cannot be said.
Joyce, don't say that.
Don't say those two words.
Okay, I won't say it.
All right.
My friend's grandma died, and he was going through her things, and... he found a collection from small to large in a case of sex toys that you put in your rear end.
that's slightly better, I guess. And that's from a grandmother. That's a grandmother that
was from Bert's, his grandma.
Is that for storage?
God,
well, actually,
Steve.
Yes. Steve is right. It is for storage.
Oh, MG.
And she died a very long time ago, and he still talks about it.
Does he really?
I wouldn't tell anybody that.
Wow. So his perception of his grandmother is changed forever. You can't ever rebound off of that, can you?
I suppose not.
No, probably not.
I guess that's why he still talks about it.
Oh, my God. Joyce, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye.
I thought she was going to say he still has them.
In the will.
All right, interesting things you find after someone has passed. I mean, I know it's a very sad and tragic time, and a lot of times you will postpone cleaning out a loved one's bedroom and belongings.
Yeah, because it's awful.
It is awful. Gail, what happened after your aunt passed away?
First of all, there's five of us kids, and there's an aunt. She, at a holiday... she was fine, everything, and it was a year before she died. And at the holiday, she announces she's going to give all her money to one of my sisters.
Hmm.
And
just one.
One. Hmm. And we were like, and there was no animosity amongst any of us. And we were like, what? So then she passes away. Shockingly, a year later, and none of us knew how much she really had. It ends up she had over $1 million.
What? Wow.
And
you should have been nicer to her, Gail.
No, we were all nice to her. We were all fine with her. And the reason why is because we found out that she was, my sister was the only one that wasn't married.
Yeah.
So she said, well, what I'm going to, you know, because of that, I'm going to leave her my money so that she, well, it ends up that she meets the
mortician?
Thank you.
Yeah, mortician, all right.
Okay, so he ends up asking her on a date.
Yeah.
And they get married.
What, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So what kind of crap is that?
What kind of crap is that?
Yeah.
That's a crazy bunch of twists all in one story.
Yeah. So not only that, she ends up getting married, and we end up with...
nothing.
Nothing.
Zero.
I mean,
wow.
Well, my brother was very happy, and he told us how we should be happy, too, because had she not gotten married, she'd be knocking on our door and, you know, say, hey, give me a little something.
Sure, of course.
You know,
and the mortician knew that she was coming into a large sum of money. I'm not saying that that's. Oh, he didn't know. All right.
No,
that's better.
He wouldn't have known.
Right. I'm sure he makes enough money. Morticians make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then the thing is that my sister didn't have time to clean out my aunt's place, so me and my other sister and my mom and dad are cleaning out her place, and we're finding all this stuff. And I said, "Oh, Mom, I found this, and my mom's going, "Well, put it over there for your sister. Put it over there for your sister."
Wow.
I'll tell you where I'm going to put it.
Thanks for sharing that, Gail. Sorry. Okay. Do you need to borrow a couple of bucks? You're good?
I'm good.
All right. That's
Thank
good
you,
news.
Gail. Someone else, my grandfather was in a bomb disposal unit clearing out the house after my grandfather's death. My father found unused explosives in the garage. Bomb squad was called and the street was sealed off for a while, but pretty exciting for the neighbors.
How frightening would that be? I don't know what the shelf life is on that stuff, but you never know what could have just exploded at any point.
All right, Rick's on the line. Hi, Rick. What did you find after, or what did a friend find after a loved one passed?
Friend, he explained to me, he was a mutual friend of ours, that the mom was long gone and the dad had passed away, and they were going over the house, and he found a note, and all it said, and I don't know if it was a horrible practical joke, it just said, "The money's in the wall."
I've heard this before, that's the best thing you can say on your deathbed. Right before you're about to die, go, "The money's hidden in the wall," and then cash in your chips. Because what are they going to do? They'll tear
break
the house apart.
Yeah. So did they tear the house apart?
Don't know.
I would have.
You never know. That house, if it's untouched, could have a whole lot of money or there could be nothing.
Right.
So,
wow.
Well, have a good day, you
Thanks,
guys.
Rick. You too.
You too. My Uncle John passed away many, many years ago. I was probably in my 20s, and my cousin Susie and I went to look at some antiques. He had like a really cool old ice box, a legitimate ice box, and I thought, oh, wouldn't that be cool to repurpose? But there was this beautiful cedar chest, and it was locked, and we couldn't open it. And I said, well, I still want it. I'll find some way to open it. So for some reason, my cousin Susie and I, whenever we move something heavy up or down a flight of stairs, we have a giggle attack in the middle of it. I don't know why. It's just so stupid.
Sure.
So we're laughing. I get the chest home to my apartment that I lived in at the time, and I got a friend to open it up. And I'm really thinking, you know, what if there's like money in here?
Yeah.
It was just all unopened bed sheets.
The whole thing.
That was it. I thought I had come into a chest of money.
But who's got more bed sheets than anyone on the planet now? And that is you.
They were just white and ugly, and they actually were very yellowed. So... This listener has been on hold for a while. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm the guy from Peoria that called last week about the hoarders.
Oh, yeah.
To do estate sales. And, you know, a number of these stories, it's been great listening. A number of these stories we run into, a wide variety. We had a live grenade, same kind of story.
A live grenade.
And the widow had no idea. Her husband was in the Far East in World War II and brought it back. And so, but the two kind of strange ones, we went in the basement of a small house in the South End, and there was five brand new galvanized trash cans. And when I said, you know, those are nice trash cans, they're old, we could sell them. He said, well, look inside of them.
Yeah.
And inside of them, top to bottom, was probably 2,000 hand crocheted doilies that the woman had over her life just done the work on to give away as gifts. And when we had the estate sale, we laid them out in beer flats full of, a couple dozen each.
Yeah.
We got about $2,000 out of those five trash cans full of doilies.
Not bad.
And one other quick sale that we were a part of found five Crocs, stoneware Crocs with lids on them, underneath the bathroom stair or the basement stairs of a Civil War era home. And the man was a local, I don't know if he was a mortician or the coroner, but he messed around with embalming recipes, I guess. And there were five severed human heads, perfectly preserved. I guess he got the formula right, in those Crocs.
All right, but who were the heads?
Well, he brought his work home because he did work for the city, you know, indigents that would pass away. And it was his line of work. And he developed a formula to successfully preserve bodies. And these heads were in there just hanging out. And so that, that's my weird one for the day.
Dan, you should add a special, like buy five doilies, get a human head for free. I bet that would have sold everything quickly.
I think you guys should do something. I don't know, a good name, Bill and Wendy, move your junk. Or, I don't know.
We're working on it. We'll get something going.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks, Dan. That takes the cake. A bunch of human heads.
Yeah, five human heads.
Quick break and a couple more. Yeah. What have you found after a loved one has passed? And if you have something embarrassing in your house currently, get it out before you die. That's all I got to say.
Good advice. More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Sorry, I'm reading a bunch of texts, Bill.
Each one of them embarrassing.
Yeah, some cannot be revealed on the air,
but come by the studio. We'll show you.
This one is just silly. Can I share a silly one?
Yeah, what do you got?
This is what happens when you're cleaning out a loved one's house after they've passed away.
Yeah.
This happened to my grandmother as she was cleaning out her own grandmother's place following her passing. Apparently, my great-great-grandmother had lost her dentures once due to her poor memory.
Yeah.
The family went nuts looking for them. They could barely afford to replace them. Unfortunately, they didn't find them. So reluctantly, they scraped together enough of the funds needed to buy good old Gran some new dentures. She died shortly thereafter.
Oh.
So a few $100 they'd never see again. So now they're cleaning out her home. Grandmother opened the fridge only to be greeted by the stench of old fruit and spoiled milk. She held her nose, withdrew a glass jar of peaches, and in the jar of peaches...
The dentures.
We're floating around.
Oh, there they are. That's
I knew I put them somewhere.
Right. Right. All right. Here's my fear. Because of technology, we now live in a day and age where it's very easy to take pictures of somebody or make movies. You can make films, you know, with your camera or with
your phone.
Yeah. It's so easy to do. So I have a feeling this generation is now going to see a lot more things when your parents die or a loved one dies than in the past, don't you imagine? It's just too easy.
Yeah, but it's all going to be on the phone.
Well, some of it will be, but you know how, like, you could get a camcorder and videotape anything you want and then store those discs or tapes, so somebody at some point is going to find those. It's not going to end well.
All right. Remember I said I didn't have any embarrassing things?
You've rescinded your answer.
The SD card has to be destroyed.
Immediately.
All right, Rich, what did you find when a loved one passed away?
Okay, my godfather, he was partial syndicate, and they gave him a house in Grace Lake. When we went to go clean the house up, the closet was full of shoeboxes loaded with tickets from the racetrack. But underneath the bed was also boxes loaded with tickets and winning money, and my cousin found over $100,000 that he left.
Okay, but those tickets you can't redeem.
Can he cash those in after all that time?
No. The money was there.
Oh, money was there. All right. Well, that's not a bad find.
He showed the winning ticket, kept the winning ticket with them, but everything in the closet was losses, and I couldn't even explain how much.
That's amazing. Good for him. When you say he was partial syndicate, how do you pull that off? How do you become just
careful.
Partial?
Well, you know, from what my father told me, he worked for the syndicate but wouldn't do any of the real dirty work.
Oh, all right.
We hope to be syndicated someday.
Different kind. Oh. Totally different.
So, and he loved playing pinochle and said he never gambled, which I think Wendy likes to play.
No, and, I'm more of...
You know, well, you're Italian.
Yeah, we never played pinochle in our house.
No.
Well, they played all the time, and he would never gamble. But he gambled, but never told us.
I guess he did all right, too. Wow.
Thank you, Rich.
Yes. So, thank you, guys.
High-stakes pinochle.
I don't even know how to play pinochle.
You never hear that.
No, he said he would play pinochle with the or wouldn't play because he didn't gamble, but he found a closet full of losing stubs, and then the winning stubs were under the bed with $100,000.
That's great.
That would be good.
That's a nice bonus.
All right, Brian gets our last call on this. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Bill, Wendy. My grandma died back in 99, and she lived up in Green Bay. And by the time we got up there, they took all of her knick-knack stuff to put it on tables, and there was, like, next to nothing left. Well, there was just glasses and a little wooden box, and when I took the little box. I thought it was really cool. And I opened it up, and it had, like, religious medallions and stuff in it and little medals. And I didn't really think much of it. And just, like, a month or so ago, I finally, like, looked at it and opened it up. My grandfather's gold teeth were in them. And I cashed in and got $1,500. I was sitting on that money and those teeth for that amount of time. I was like, everybody looked over everything on the table.
Yeah.
And the most expensive thing there were the gold teeth.
Good. Money. It paid off. Excellent.
I showed up late and I got the best thing.
Did you go to just one of those cash for gold places?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was like, "What is it?" I'm like, "This is gold, and this is my grandpa's teeth." I'm like, "It was kind of morbid, but I'm like, hey, it's $1,500 of gold. I'll take it."
He'd want you to have that, Brian. He would want you to spend it.
Well done.
Down into one gold tooth. Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. Congrats.
Sure.
Take care.
Yeah,
bye.
I never found anything, and I always wanted to.
Yeah. Keep looking. It's hidden.
But I do live in a house that's, you know, 1860s it was built.
And so you've looked around or you haven't looked around?
Well, I've looked around, but
there's no crawl space. Did you dig in the crawl space at all? Anything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing.
The attic?
Nothing. No.
No, but I'm still looking. I'm still hoping to find something.
Don't give up. We'll take a quick break. Rowan Ann will stop by. We'll find out what they have coming up for you next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.